Federal Communications Commission has determined the following content to be emotionally harmful.
Funny things that you think funny aren't funny.
Give me cocks all the time. I want cocks all over me.
The Alan Cox Show kicks ass, man.
Welcome.
Show me what you got.
You're not going to see a lot of cocks on TV.
Alan Cox from the Alan Cox Show.
I don't know what's about you, but I can't even stand your voice.
You know when he's just a tough guy when he's standing behind a microphone?
I think you're the biggest asshole alive.
Kick it. I'll say kick it, and you'll just kick it with a tasty groove, okay? One, two, three, kick it. Kick it, come on. God damn it. Put you one time, kick it. What the?
Alan Cox.
Here we go. He'll ad-lib. He'll be fine.
It's the Alan Cox Show on 100.7 WMMS.
What's going on, gang? Good afternoon. Hi there. Greetings. Salutations and all that. How you feeling? My name is Alan Cox. Thank you for showing up. Say hi to Bill Squire, who's right over there.
Hey, creepy hugs, everyone. Thanks for listening to and watching this episode of The Alan Cox Show. Don't forget to like, subscribe, and share a cold one with the boys.
Where would they watch the show, Bill?
AlanCoxShow.com, or they can go to YouTube.com/ The Alan Cox Show.
YouTube, am I pronouncing that correctly?
Yes, YouTube.
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 People should really get on board this thing.
Mm-hmm.
Should really. Hey, Mary Santora is right over there.
Hi, guys. No babies.
And Pound Cake is back behind the glass.
Afternoon, white people.
You all right in there?
Yep, I'm fine.
Okay. Any more things taken off the wall or added to the wall or?
No. Everything is as it was before.
Business as usual? Okay. If you'd like to join us, do. We'd love to have you. Oh, we'd love to have you. Like we had a plate of fresh cookies out for you. Like it was an open house. You know, you ever go to an open house just for the snacks? You guys like snacks.
I did not know that.
They put out little finger sandwiches.
Pinwheels.
Or there might be some cookies or something. They're people who will go to open houses under the pretense that they're actually legitimately looking at the property. They'll kind of wind their way through. They'll grab the little realtor sheet in the kitchen. They'll dip into the snacks.
That's a good road hack for when I'm pouring on a comedy trip.
I can't believe you haven't done it already.
Find an open house.
Find an open house. Eat a little sandwich. I have the afternoon, like the matinee, you know, the $5 movie. You can go take a nap in there. I've done that before. That's a good one. Shower at a gym.
Take a nap in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because you just find whatever's on at 2 p.m. Because, like, if I'm going from a place, let's say, that's only, like, 2 hours apart and I don't have a hotel either night, you have all day to do nothing. Go pick a movie. Take a little nap.
Gotcha.
Good to go.
Again, there are all kinds of hacks.
Mm-hmm.
You're welcome
now,
for the open house.
Open house sandwiches.
You got your food squared away.
Open house, open face.
Movie. Well, they're not going full deli. But.
I want an open face roast beef sandwich with mashed potatoes and gravy.
You may have to bring that. Yeah. You know what?
You just use the microwave.
I'm going to need to road test this kitchen for myself and see if it's up to my rigorous standards. I brought an entire Thanksgiving dinner. I hope that doesn't dissuade you from
just like take out from Boston Market.
Mm-hmm. Where do I put my carver? 216-578-1007 or 800-348-1007. You can use either of those phone numbers. You can call anytime, by the way, on the Alan Cox Show After Hours line. Well, a lot of calls come after hours, after the show, but if you're a podcast listener and don't listen live, you can still throw in that way. Now there's 216-986-8903. And of course, send me a text at alancoxshow.com. Got my taxes done this morning.
How'd it go?
Doing great. My tax guy.
Good.
Amazing.
For you.
Bill McCrone out in Beechwood. Top of his game, this guy.
Nice.
Top of his game, Billy McCrone.
I'm still waiting on a couple W-2s from comedy clubs. That's the most frustrating
thing. What a pain
thing.
In the ass that is.
It is a huge pain in the ass. And I played more last year than I've ever played.
And
In a lot of states. So I'm sitting, I'm waiting on like, from Portland and from here and from like, so it's until I get them. There was like last year some of them just didn't send one, so I'm like, all right, well, Sorry.
It's not us. Right. Sure.
You're not going to do it. I'm not going to wait for you, you know?
Right. But what are they, all I-9s? Independent contractor?
No, they're W-2s.
W-2s.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's really, really frustrating. It takes like 4.5 hours to get my taxes done.
Do you do it yourself?
No, I was doing it myself, and then in last year was the first year that I took it to somebody, and I was like, I can't do this anymore. Like, you got to figure this out.
It takes 4.5 hours with somebody doing them as well?
Because it's all different cities, states,
different
all different kinds of things that need to play into one another.
Do it all the different states, it takes forever. I used to do it. It was a nightmare, and now they're so easy.
And then write
off. Right on Saturday, in like an hour, I was done.
Yeah.
Refund submitted. It's nice.
Yeah, I got to put all that in, and then I have to give them, like, okay, this is what I spent on hotels, this is what I spent on tolls, this is what I spent on...
That's a nightmare.
You can write off a certain percentage of, like, your cell phone bill and things like that, but
I have to keep a gas log?
No, that you do 56 cents to the mile or something like that, so you keep track of your miles, and you can write that off.
Yeah, they used to have all kinds of... This business, broadcasting, used to have all kinds of alleged hacks that they would be like, well, write off your cable, because it's for show prep. I'm like, yeah, except tax preparers don't consider this a real job.
Right.
And tax preparers, because they're indemnified against any problems, they don't care. They'll put in whatever, you know? They'd be like, yeah, whatever. Somebody is like their part-time job working up the street.
Cost me like $500 to get my taxes done last year.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, that's
because
why
Because they have to file it so many different ways. It's not just a straight, hey, here's my one W-2 from the job I have.
Oh, my God.
I'm essentially an independent contractor or whatever. I don't know. It's a mess. It's always a mess.
I love the memes where it's like, according to my taxes, this should be me this summer. And it's like somebody walking out in handcuffs because they're like, oh, yeah, sure, my dog is my dependent.
Yeah.
Like, I'm marking all these things as my dependent. I'm like,
I've never lied on my taxes. I'm too afraid I'm going to go to jail.
Well, plus they have fewer people working at the IRS now, so they're like, if people are going to lie on their taxes, now there's probably never been a better time to do it.
I'm always afraid
Trump's
that
like,
I'm
this is
get...
great news.
Right?
See me in 7 years. It takes 7 years for them to come after you.
So poor people always get audited. The people who have no money.
That's
are
what
always
I'm
the
saying.
Ones. They always seem to find time to dig into those people's taxes.
They're going
to
see something that, like, with all these different W-2s and claiming this, and if I claim, like, hotel rates too high or something, and that's what they do, and then that's what takes me down. I end up in jail for 10 years for tax fraud.
Hotel fee evasion.
Yes, where I was like, oh, I claim that I spent $2,000 on hotels last year, I really only spent $1,500.
Even if that is the case.
They want their money. They don't want to send you to jail.
Money,
yeah.
And it's not like the way you travel, the way like writing off the mileage and the airplane tickets and all that stuff, you are so in the red when it comes to taxes, you'll be just fine.
The guy last year was like, is this really your expenses? And I was like, I lose so much money on comedy.
Oh,
it's unbelievable the amount of money that you lose for just years. Mm-hmm. For years and years and years. You're losing thousands and thousands of dollars.
You thought he was doing it wrong because you were losing so much money?
Because they look at this and go, how are you making a living?
What it is.
Well, you're not really. I mean, you're making money on merch and stuff that you're not always claiming.
No, good.
But, you know, there's a few loopholes here and there, but a lot of times you're just losing money. You're just barely keeping your head above water.
When he did the regular one from the bartending and stuff like that, that was fine. And then when he started to do the comedy one last year, he called two different women over and was like, I think I'm doing this wrong. I was like, you're not doing it wrong. Like, I promise you it is, that's all accurate.
Women are going to know.
Well, I was like, maybe he was newer. All right, women can't count. We get it. Okay. I was like, maybe he's newer and doesn't know what he's doing.
No, but a lot of those places, they just stock them with part-time people.
Right.
It's not like they're all certified public accountants.
This is somebody
they're
that
like
does
somebody
taxes.
Walked in and, well, because
it's
all
how to use the program.
It's software, yeah. So they're like, put this in number in here, and oh my God.
I thought it was like a scam. Like, once you come into the building, they make you sit down, and once they enter in your like name and phone number, they're like, oh, can't leave. Now that's like not that.
Well, you can leave whenever you want.
Yeah.
But once they start preparing your taxes, you're kind of in it. Once they're
already halfway through.
Yeah,
like, I changed my mind.
I think I'm gonna do it myself.
Because they say like it's one rate, and then once you're in there, they're like, "All right, that'd be $500." Like, what? You said $99.99.
That's like the basic thing.
That's why you want to ask a lot of questions if you're gonna walk into a chain tax preparer.
I've never had a refund.
Wow,
No. Last year I was supposed to get one, but they took it from like previous years. I had owed back taxes.
They got you
so
for years.
Like,
this
is why I'm so afraid to lie.
The IRS always gets its money.
That's what I'm saying. So they're like, okay, you're going to get X amount of dollars back this year. And I was like, oh my God, I've never owed less than like $800 to $1,000. Never owed less than that. And then that last year, I was supposed to get money back. And I was like, oh my God, this is incredible. Like, I can do this. I can do that. And then I get like a letter. No, I get a letter from the IRS that's like, we took that. You still owe us however much money. I was like, damn it.
Well, that's like, why my tax guy, he said to me a couple years ago, he goes, you need to be claiming more. I claimed so little that I would get like five-figure tax refunds.
Nice. Good for
you. No, once a year, you get, you know. Yeah. But he's like, you should be claiming a lot more stuff. Right. Because, you know, you should, you're not supposed to get that much back all at once.
Claim me as a dependent. I'm black and I'm gay.
Like, keep more throughout the year. Black and gay people are dependent on other people, apparently, according to Pound Cake.
I was like, you're racist.
What makes you dependent is when your mother is still paying your bills, and that's got nothing to do with being black or gay.
I don't
gay.
Live with her.
So no.
She can't claim me no more.
But she shouldn't be paying any of your bills either.
I'm like, so afraid. That's my big thing, is that, like, even if I were to, like, people have claim their pets as dependents and stuff like that. Like, even if I were to claim my cat, then what? You're so screwed.
But that animal, like, hey, yeah, that's not worth it. That animal is literally dependent on you. If your child was lost in the woods, it would probably make its way around for a little while. Figure something out, right?
Not a cat.
A house animal? They don't know what's going on out there. That thing is literally dependent on you. They need to make some changes to the tax code with respect to companions.
Yes.
I don't want to make PETA upset. Not pets. Companions.
Okay, so being called an audio hate crime by Ohio Quilter Magazine wasn't our proudest moment. The Alan Cox Show.
On 100.7.
WMMS.
Yeah, I had an attitude.
Another $1,000 for you, closer to 2:30, about 10 minutes from now. Rage Against the Machine tickets at 4:20. Those go on sale Thursday morning, by the way. LiveNation.com will have that information. Those are $125 tickets. General admission for the Romo Feho show on July 29th with Run the Jewels. As for the Rolling Stones, still giving tickets away for that. I think maybe next week here on the show or the week after. As for now, you can try to win them at AlanCoxShow.com. Just hit the contest tab. And a lot of people have asked me, is there an MMS presale? There is, for the Rolling Stones. The WMMS presale will start Thursday at 10 a.m. And you want to use the password SHATTER Shadoobie. So Thursday, 10 a to 10 p, the WMMS presale for the Rolling Stones, use the password SHATTER. And you can get in on those early. They are playing First Energy Stadium earlier in July, right? It's going to be a great summer for shows.
I thought that was June.
Sorry, June 19th. You're right, yeah. Juneteenth. So they will go on sale to everyone else on Friday, but you can get them 24 hours early with the keyword SHATTER for the Rolling Stones. I don't know. People have also asked me who's in the supporting slot for that, and I don't know. I'm not sure who's on the Stones tour. We have Bureau Chiefs all over the great state of Oklahoma. We have them in Fort Smith. We've had them in Murfreesboro. We have Julie in Sallisaw, Oklahoma. We've got people in Oklahoma City. They listen on the iHeartRadio app, and we'll check in from time to time. I don't know how old this clip is, but I do love it. This is from Channel 4 in Oklahoma City. A woman who, I don't even know if she's still, apparently she was a longtime anchor. And there was a delicatessen that was going to be opening very soon. And they were doing a little bit on this brand new restaurant. And I'll let her tell you.
Once it's turned on, the sign will spell out Delicatessen.
Right. Delicatessen is what. Now, listen, I know it would be an easy joke to say that there are probably no Jews in Oklahoma. And there aren't many. But you would certainly think in a place like Oklahoma City, which has synagogues and. I'm not sure where Delicatessen came from.
Delicatessen,
when the sign is turned on. I hope somebody pointed out to her that when the sign is also not turned on, it will still say Delicatessen. On or off.
Once it's turned on, the sign will spell out Delicatessen.
There you go.
Is it like in three different windows or something?
No, it's a big old sign.
No, like, I'm like trying to give her the benefit of the doubt.
Delicatessen.
Delicatessen.
Oklahoma City is a city of about 650,000 people. Conversely, I believe the state of Oklahoma has about 5,000 Jews in it. So, again, I certainly hope that one or two or all of them We'll get a hold of Oklahoma's news leader and tell them this woman has to have heard the word delicatessen before.
Right.
Or maybe that's how she pronounces it, and I'm going about this all wrong. Maybe she walks
maybe
in
that's
and says,
the accent there.
I'll have a Reuben.
Mm-hmm.
Ah. Right.
Some places, you know, they'll say things like milk and
milk. It's a
pillow.
Illinois thing.
Yeah. So maybe in Oklahoma City, they say deli cat
Essen. Sure.
Where are you guys going for lunch? We're going to the deli cat Essen.
Sounds like she's like trying to make a point. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like I don't know why I read it as like a text message with the claps in between, like, or the period deli cat Essen.
The Jews are coming.
Can I get a pickle with my corned beef, please?
Once it's turned on, the sign will spell out deli cat Essen.
Mm-hmm.
What is pastrami?
It's
pastrami.
Yummy.
What is a pastrami?
It's so delicious. So, again, congratulations to whoever that is. Maybe it was let's give her the benefit of the doubt.
Okay.
Maybe it was a teleprompter thing. She wasn't there. She wasn't
live.
I
was saying, was she on location?
No, she was just doing the VO from the studio.
Oh,
but
that
if
could
you,
be.
But even if you saw that, you'd know it was delicatessen. You got to work to come up with deli cat Essen, but you got to work to come up with deli cat Essen. I know that there are a lot of
It sounds like there's a cat in that deli.
Yeah,
just
named Essen.
Chilling.
This is Essen.
Yeah, just Essen.
The deli cat.
Yeah.
The deli cat.
Well, because like in New York and stuff, people are always posting pictures of cats in bodegas, just like laying on loaves of bread and things like that. So it's just like maybe there's a.
Deli cat.
One of my favorite delis in New York is called Cats.
That's what I'm saying. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But you know how to pronounce delicatessen. Used to drive me crazy when friends of mine growing up would say milk.
Oh, I hate
it.
Yeah,
milk's terrible.
Adults do that. I'm pretty sure my sister does that. Says milk. And I'm like, dude, I'm going to throw up. Like, I just hate the.
People would be like, where do you live? They'd
say, it's because you can't drink milk.
Milk.
Say, oh, you must live in Illinois.
Illinois.
Have you guys seen the. People in Baltimore, like there's these kids doing the Baltimore Challenge or something like that, where they're saying Aaron ironed and earn or something like that. It's really fun. It's
Iron and earn.
Yeah.
Oh no.
And they're like earn.
Right. It all sounds exactly the same.
They're like what? They're like earn.
Huh. Well, it's like in Philly they say wooder.
Mm-hmm.
The Baltimore Challenge.
Yeah.
All right. No, I haven't seen this.
Yeah, I think it's safe to air.
92Q from a radio station, is that what it is?
Well, there's a original one was these kids just doing it on like TikTok or something.
Oh, okay.
Let's see.
Safe to air off TikTok.
Yeah, because they're just trying to say air and iron and I can't remember, like an urn or something like that.
All right. I don't know where it is.
Let me find it.
Most recent TikTok challenge I saw coming out of Baltimore was they were telling people to not do the outlet challenge, which was when you stick a fork in an outlet.
What?
See, the rise of social media for people who don't believe that social media has infantilized people. Exhibit A is the fact that they have to tell grown people, it's not just teenagers doing it, they might be the most susceptible or the most bored or whatever, but then you have to tell grown people to not do things that you tell small children not to do. Right? These are things, hey, don't do that. You can really get hurt.
Maybe that's what happened to the reporter. She was doing the outlet challenge. She's like, deli cat Essen. She couldn't even get it out.
Deli
cat.
Yeah. I mean, if you have a toddler in your house or when a child first starts walking, you know, you put those little outlet caps mm-hmm. in there so they don't get their little fingers in there or whatever. And then, you know, you give them 15 years and they're sticking forks in the outlet for TikTok.
Do you have that harmonica still?
Do I have what harmonica?
The harmonica.
The fateful harmonica that I gifted my wife
some
years ago. She would have it. I don't know where.
Okay, well, if you can bring it in, there's a video I would like to try and do the harmonica challenge.
Is it a fartmonica challenge?
No, it's not like that. It's just you hit people with stuff while they have a harmonica in their mouth and then
makes
as
a song.
You're breathing in and out, you go... and do harmonica songs. And it's very funny.
In case you ever wanted to put a soundtrack to a friendship ending.
Mm-hmm.
And yet there are so many different ways you can do that. Mm-hmm. You know, could be screaming. It could be taking someone to a live theater.
Mm-hmm.
All of those.
I sent you the Baltimore Challenge.
The Baltimore Challenge.
Aaron earned and iron earn.
And the word they're trying to get them to say is iron?
Aaron earned.
Oh, a sentence.
Iron, yes. Earned.
Aaron earned an iron urn. Mm-hmm. And they'll all sound the same?
Aaron earned an iron urn.
All right. The Baltimore accent test.
I said, Baltimore accents, say this phrase out loud. Earn, earn, and iron urn. Hold on,
my... Anyway, yeah. Okay, well...
Yeah. But you get the idea.
It sounded like Yeah, that was fake. That didn't sound like he was really saying it like that.
I think that's somebody who was probably playing it
I don't know what people from Baltimore sound like to me.
They sound like that.
Sound like that.
Do they really?
Yeah. Some do. The mayor probably doesn't sound like that. Of course, she hit the road, didn't she? The mayor's like on the run. All right.
Trying to sell that book. Yeah. It's all the libraries.
If you're looking for something nice to do, there's a program called Text for Humanity. I don't know if you've heard about this. There's a nonprofit called Mental Health America that has launched this. And you just sign up. And then you can send uplifting messages to total strangers. People who might need to hear something nice. And if you do it,
I can't.
Then a random person texts you an uplifting message.
So I can't just text like, I'm horny?
You can text whatever you like. I'm sure there's all kinds of people getting trolled on this thing.
That's what I'm saying.
But if you go into it not being a garbage person, because there are no shortage of other outlets where you can be a jagoff. If you just want to do something nice, Text for Humanity, you can send a positive glass half full little something to somebody who might need it.
Yeah.
You know, they're random, that you won't know them, they won't know you.
I need a thick one. Just send it out.
Thick what? Reuben?
Sure.
A Reuben? A thick Reuben. So this, you text the word join to the... I'm sure you can Google this. I'm not going to throw it out there now for all the people who I guarantee are more allied with pound cake on
right.
this than maybe somebody who might try to be cool and be a human being for once.
Nah.
Well,
who
at least he's honest.
He knows.
Like, he's forthright about it.
I hate when I get those group texts for like Christmas, Easter, Thanksgiving, like, and I'm in a text with like 30
all
other people.
You don't know.
Yeah, and you're like, oh, happy Thanksgiving. I'm like, don't send me this crap. You sent
well,
this.
Well, that's a group text.
This is generic.
This is one-on-one.
But it's still a group text. You don't see the other people like that it's sent out to. But
I'm getting group texts at midnight because there's a broom standing up.
All right, first of all, it wasn't midnight.
Whatever.
It
I was asleep.
Like 10:30.
I was asleep.
That was our group
talk
text
about that different. A little bit.
It was like 11:45.
It was not.
You
pretty late.
Degenerates are looking at broom
laundry.
Memes.
I know.
Laundry.
I watch porn at the same time every night,
it's
so it was
this
that
broom is standing
11:30
up.
11:30 it was.
Oh my god!
I know for sure.
Mary sends us this.
It was
I'm like,
my broom.
I'm like, what? I hear like blink, blink. I'm like, what? And it's a picture of a broom standing up.
I didn't
clearly,
know they could
clearly
do that.
Clearly fake.
That was my house. I did that
stop
with my broom.
It. You did not.
Ellen, I did. It's on my Instagram story. You can see me
but
holding
it'll
it up.
But it stand up like that all the time.
I did not know that. I thought it had something to do with the Earth's tilt.
Why
I'm
don't
stupid.
Why are you in... Like you
know
see
how
that.
You know how you have a modicum of an understanding mm-hmm. of how science works.
That's a big word.
Okay.
Have you ever seen anything like that before?
No, I've never tried to make a broom stand up on its own.
And you probably didn't make it. You probably set it there and it happened to.
I tried. It's on my Instagram story. I can't believe you thought I just found that picture on the internet. No, I actually did it.
You're doing laundry at 11:30 at night. What
because,
the hell do I know your life is like?
Okay, first
you're living
of all,
underground. You're doing
that's
laundry
exactly
at midnight.
What it is? It's because I know the laundry machines will be open.
You're trolling for memes.
And we only have one washer and one dryer. So if I have to do three loads of laundry and I start it at 7 o'clock when I get home, it's not going to be done.
The laundry is not the issue. That stupid broom.
Well, I did it. It's Mary Santora Comedy on Instagram. You can see
so
it fall over.
Yeah.
Or anywhere on the internet yesterday.
And then I put it back up. I'm saying mine because he thought mine was fake. I put it on. It fell over. So I tried it again and I got it to stand up and I was excited about it. And I shared that with my friends.
Why did you attribute it to some fakakta thing about the Earth's pole?
Because I saw it on the internet.
Oh, my God.
Because somebody tweeted out that... There's some dumb thing where the Earth had this some access point yesterday only, where if you put the broom up, it's going to stand up. And so there, I saw this
so
all
stupid.
Over last night. And the first thing I do when I see something like that is look up to see if it's real.
First thing I do is try it.
Yes. And that is the difference between us.
What?
No, you can listen. You can make it real. It's still got nothing to do with science,
right?
With respect to the. I love how people who don't believe anything else, they don't believe in climate change, they don't believe in...
I'm talking about me.
Completely provable things. All of a sudden, they're Bill Nye the Science Guy when it comes to some... Oh, it's a broom, and oh my God. We're being overrun by dopes.
All I'm saying is, I saw, hey...
It works every day.
I didn't know that. When have you ever tried to stand up your broom? When have you ever
First
done
of all,
that?
I don't have a broom, I have a Swiffer, because I'm an adult.
I have a Swiffer, too. You don't have a cat. I have to sweep my house, and then I Swiffer.
Well, I don't have a cat, because I'm an adult.
I have a broom and a Swiffer.
And how many times have you tried to stand up your broom on its own?
Not once, but what
so
is that?
So then there you go.
What go? What does that prove? How does that prove anything that I've never tried to stand my broom
because
up?
Because I'm saying, how would you know that it does that all the time if you've never tried it?
I'm not saying you can't replicate it. I'm saying it has nothing to do with the reversal of the poles.
What I'm saying is Bill's like, it does it every day. How would I know that it does it every day if
By
I've never tried
Google
it?
By a quick Google search to see if it would do that. To see if there's something that is actually happening with the Earth versus... Just some meme that's going around.
What's the picture you? What's the caption of the picture you sent us at midnight?
I said,
"Hey, my broom is standing up because the Earth is round."
Something about the Earth's axis is making brooms stand up on their own. I sent the picture and I said, "Or maybe it's always a thing, and I just fall for this shrimp."
Which
that's
is
what
true,
I said.
And that's what
right.
you did.
So don't sit here and make it sound like I'm stupid because I made
I'm
my
not.
Broom.
You're making it sound like you're stupid. I'm not making you sound like that.
I don't think that's out of the realm of... He sent the meme. I sent a picture of my actual broom. Cody sent the meme.
Because I found it, because it was just randomly on Twitter, and I'm like, this bitch, how dare she interrupt my porn for this foolishness? How dare you?
But also, memes are created. They're not born from real things.
I didn't see a meme. I saw friends of mine posting on the internet.
Yeah, and that's what I saw. I saw other people
doing it. On Facebook, and I was like, oh, I'll try it.
But that's how memes start, is... This is people, and there's, you know, different ideas of what meme even means, but people recreating a challenge or something like that. So this became the broomstick challenge, and people are trying it all over. Like, oh my God, it does work. The Earth is.
But here's my point. I don't know why you're getting so upset about it, because everyone's like, oh, I don't know anything about science, so I'm going to try this. And someone said it was about it. I'm like, yes, I understand why a simple Google search would just show you.
I only got upset about it because it woke me up.
I apologize, Alan.
Well, you should have your phone on silent.
I didn't mean it.
Do not disturb. It's an easy...
I just don't think it's something
Google
to get
I'll show
up.
You how to put
I thought
your phone
it I thought it
on
was,
Do Not Disturb.
I thought it was on Do Not Disturb, which is why I was so disturbed by it.
You're so pissed about it.
Well, maybe the Earth's access messed up your Do Not Disturb.
The what?
What?
The what?
You start drinking again?
The Earth's what? The Earth's what?
The Earth's access messed up on
right.
your phone.
Okay.
Is.
Right.
I thought it was cool. I didn't know you could do that every day.
I have a vacuum cleaner that stands straight up, boy, every time.
Dude, my TV.
Crazy Mother Nature.
My TV stood up on its own. I had a can of Coke that stood up on its own.
Right.
Somebody I thought
get
it was cool.
ICP on the phone.
Water, fire, air, and dirt. And Magnus, how do they work?
Hey, Drunk Sue. Let me go to Drunk Sue for some rational conversation.
I know, right? Hey, Mary, I think it has something to do with that rosary in your bathroom window.
See? She knows.
Uh-huh.
Making... Am I supposed to strap it to my face?
All right. Go ahead, Sue.
Anyways, I have a random question.
Those are my favorite kind.
I know, right? What do you think about Jane Fonda going to the Kent State?
What?
Hanoi Jane.
Jane Fonda,
when
Kent State, right.
Over so many veterans.
Oh,
so many Vietnam guys.
Right. How did she screw people over again? Huh?
What do you think about her being the one that they nominate to be a speaker?
Yeah, well, you'd want to ask Kent State. She's going to speak during the Kent State Massacre commemoration, right?
What is it, celebration?
Well, commemoration. Yeah, they celebrate those kids getting killed. The 50th anniversary of the Kent State shootings is this May, and so Jane Fonda is going to speak.
Well, I think she's a piece of crapoli because she sat there and went to camps and POW camps and then just exchanged.
Well, those kids were shot. Those kids were shot protesting the Vietnam War, and you'd be hard pressed to find a more high profile objector to that war than Jane
she
Fonda.
She was also in Vietnam, and she disrespected a lot of our veterans.
Have you seen Monster-in-Law?
of them.
So okay, so what do you want? Call, complain to Kent State.
Yeah, well then they better have better security for her.
Hanoi Jane was a tag that they hung around her because she protested the war openly. Yeah, and people who didn't, and people who were all for it wanted to, you know, they wanted to chastise her and whatever. So
yeah,
you're,
I still think that she's
so you're not going to go to Kent State. What do you care?
Well, I'm not going to go. Of course not.
So what do you care? Why do you care who they have speaking?
She's a piece of crap.
So you're just looking for something to get upset about?
No, she's a piece of yit.
Why don't you get upset about brooms apparently standing straight up in people's kitchens?
I already explained that. It's that rosary in the bathroom.
Rosary in the bathroom.
He can't touch it to see how loose it is.
Right. All right. Yeah. Thank you, Sue. All right.
I love you.
My advice to you will be the same now as it was at the beginning of the call, which is ignore Kent State.
Yeah. Well.
Right. Okay. Can you do that?
I still think it's chronic.
Where'd you even hear about that?
You didn't even know about it until you read about it, and then you're mad. But you're not going
to
go.
No. No, listen to me. My husband was a Vietnam vet. He passed away on August 20th, 2012. I rode with the club. I know. We talked a lot. And I know that witch is evil.
Okay, I don't know what you're talking about. There's words coming out of your mouth. I don't know what the hell that's got to do with Jane Fonda at Kent State. But you're not going, so what do you care? It's not like you were at Kent State and all of a sudden Jane Fonda shows up. Huh?
See, I do care because she hurt a lot of people.
Who did she hurt? She wasn't out there. She wasn't fighting for the Viet Cong, Sue.
Yeah, well, how come she slipped them? How come she did that? How come she
okay.
was passing her pieces?
My dad was a veteran, and the whole a lot of people Vietnam vets. Gotcha. Write Kent State a strongly worded letter.
Well, I can't stand her.
I've gleaned that from this conversation.
Did you catch that?
Yeah. Okay. Thank you, Sue.
Reiterate it.
Right.
Thank you,
dear. All right. There is Drunk Sue, who is so angry that Jane Fonda is going to be addressing the student body at Kent State University, commemorating the 50th anniversary of the students who were killed protesting. By the way.
Mm-hmm.
That's
pretty bad.
It doesn't seem like that much of a stretch to me that you're going to have one of the most high-profile protesters there to talk about kids who were killed for protesting. It's called freedom of speech. Look it up.
And the people that let the veterans down are not, that's the government. They didn't have, they've continued to let the veterans down.
That's what I'm saying. It's got nothing to do with Kent State. Right?
Right.
Brooms.
I'm just saying, I thought it was kind of cool.
You know what? I'm happy that you found something you enjoyed.
I just wish that you guys would be mildly entertained by things like that as easily as I am, instead of immediately being like, it's so stupid.
No,
What did
I say? I woke up at midnight.
You were mad about the timing.
I would have been mildly entertained at 8 p.m.
Okay. At 8 p.m., I was in the shower.
I had seen it all night, and I was just like, the first thing I do is Google something to see if it's a real thing or if people are gullible.
I hadn't seen, well, they're not mutually exclusive.
Correct.
Still, I hadn't seen anybody posting these things. So yours was the very first one. And when it says, hey, my broom is standing up because of the axis of the earth.
And then I said, maybe it isn't. I don't know. I just fall for things.
I saw one, and then I showed my girlfriend. I go, oh, this is kind of cool. I'm going to Google it. I looked it up. I'm like, oh, it's not real. Okay.
Now you can replicate this any day you like.
I'll post it every day.
From other dummies.
And that means that the earth is flat. Duh.
216-578-1007. You're going to join us at 800-348-1007. 35912. Send me a text. Cavaliers are off tonight. We took a whooping from the Clippers over the weekend. They will be back tomorrow night at home with Romo Feho to take on the Atlanta Hawks. We've got tickets for you to win for the 24th at AlanCockShow.com. Use the contest tab there. That's when the Heat are going to be in town. Alonzo Mourning and the Miami Heat. February 24th at the Romo Feho. It is a Bud's night out. And get two Loudville tickets and two Budweiser beers for only $50. Presented by Budweiser. You can go to Cavs.com for that information. But if you want to win tickets for the Cavs Heat, AlanCockshow.com, use the keyword contest there. And you can use the promo code HEART for 20% off at CLE Clothing Company all throughout the month of February. Which, since we're in a leap year, is one day longer. So, keep that in mind, won't you? CLEclothingco.com if you want to look into that. So, I feel like maybe I was a little bit hard on Mary the last segment because of that dumb broom thing. And it's not really your fault. And so I thought, you know, given... is your Mike Polk sex auction tonight?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Sex auction.
Well, whatever. I mean, she's...
it's going to be a lot of brooms standing alone tonight.
A lot of brooms that want to desperately be ridden, but won't be. You know, I thought maybe there's a different way to go about it. And so that's where I landed on the website from Jeff Gebhardt. Have you been to datejeffg.com?
I have not.
Yet?
He made a whole website, though. He's got to pay for the domain and all.
Well, because if you find him a girlfriend, he will pay you $25,000.
That's not bad.
He's 47. He lives in Kansas. He's sick of dating. And he's tired of wasting money on dates that don't lead to anything. So you can suggest women for him to date. I'm going to suggest Mary Santora. And if you find Mrs. Wright for him, he'll pay you $25,000. Provided that the relationship lasts at least a year. So he does have a bit of an insurance policy. He will also make a $25,000 donation to a no-kill dog shelter. And he kind of looks like your standard...
Looks like a guy.
He looks like kind of a, you know, tight t-shirt, regular dude.
Mm-hmm.
You can kind of tell why he doesn't have somebody. But, you know, he seems affable enough. But there could be 25 grand in it for you. It's in Prairie Village, Kansas.
I'm good. Little nervous, excited. Yeah. Want to get this thing going.
Well, tell me about it.
So... we developed this basically because I'm single, right? And I don't want to go back to the normal app-based dating stuff. I think that a lot of people treat each other pretty poorly through that.
So he's, you know, they got some B-roll of him throwing with his dog. He's clearly a guy who spends a lot of time in the gym. And yet all that gym time has still not gotten him a mate. So he set up datejeffg.com. How do you feel about a 47-year-old guy in Kansas who clearly has 50 grand to spend?
No, thank you.
And it's a toxic community. I kind of have a choice there, so I'm choosing not to do that. And I'm not a person that sits around and does nothing about something. I don't want to sit out. We all, as single people, try Bumble, Tinder, Hinge, whatever the latest is. But we only do it because...
You know, where he lives, too, Prairie Village, is a very big college community. So he's probably got some cool, hip friends, too.
I was like, oh, so I could, like, go there, like, I'm going to love him and then leave him for a 22-year-old?
He said, I've established, built, and sold a couple of companies, and I've enjoyed economic success. I just need somebody to share it with. My friends describe me as, quote, a lighthearted jackass.
Hey!
High energy... I know what he's trying to do. I don't know that jackass is ever a word that's going to get you further along with somebody.
No.
Lighthearted is negated by jackass.
Correct.
Lighthearted's fine. I'm lighthearted.
Yeah, goofball.
High energy, positive, and always has a big smile on his face. I assume that's primarily from his ill-fitting teeth.
That's all that's available to us. I'm trying to develop a better way, and I think this is it. So I know that app-based dating is so bad that there's a certain segment of the demographics that choose not even to enter into it.
He's got big ears.
Mm-hmm. He's short.
He's walking in. Is he short?
You can tell. Look how short his torso is. I've got an eye for it.
That's why he spends so much time at the gym.
He says health and fitness are super important.
Mm-hmm.
In quotation, super. S-U-P-A.
I was a chunk of monk. And then there's a photo of him in American flag. Board shorts.
That's the photo you can look at and see how short his torso is.
5'7", 160, 9% BMI.
But that's not that short. 5'7", I'm
5'8". For a guy, is 5'7", is short.
BMIs don't have a percentage, first of all. The 9% body fat, maybe. or his BMI is 9, which is disgustingly low. Yeah.
I think like 5'5 is short. 5'7 is not short.
5'7 is short.
That is
short,
but the average height for a guy is 5'8, 5'9.
Did you not see that man who tweeted at me and was very upset? But he's like, the average height for a man in America is 5'8, and it's only 5'6 across the world, so stop saying 5'10 is short.
It's short, guys.
Every mad man that tweets you.
I know, I retweeted it. I was like, apparently somebody is upset with me. I was struck a
nerve
here.
A short guy is upset by a little guy.
Listen, 5'7 is short for a dude. You can't argue that.
I call myself short, and I'm just shy of 6 feet.
Yeah.
And I hate you for that.
Because, like, my younger siblings, my brothers, they're way above 6 feet.
And your son's way taller than you.
Yes. My son's like 6'9". You know,
tell me more.
Him and all his friends, too. I'm like, what is in the goddamn water? Like, he doesn't. He has, like, one short friend.
HGH. Yeah.
I'll take that one, too.
Cody will take the short friend.
I'll take the short friend.
I would never have the opportunity to meet these people.
I don't think they want anybody as old as you, Poundcake.
That's not true.
We're old.
Not at the grocery store.
The youngins love me.
Not at the gym. Not anywhere. And so this is my effort.
Yeah, because they want a zaddy.
That's fine. I'll be their zaddy. I mean, what they think is a zaddy when they find out I'm broke. Like,
You're not broke.
Shut up. I want them.
He's emotionally broke.
We knew that.
Reach out to those people who I feel are a lot like me.
Why don't you try to turn Jeff G?
Hey. He's got $25,000. I'll submit you, and then I'll share the money with you.
There you go.
We each get 12.5.
Turn Jeff G.
I don't want a short guy.
That is.
Wait a minute. I thought 5'7 wasn't short.
I mean, not for everybody else, but not for me. I want to date a tree.
That is gross. Right.
It's a little weird. I get it. Like adding money into something where I'm honestly interested in finding a soulmate. So. You have to look at it through a little different context. Dating is expensive, after all. Every month I spend X, okay? There's a lot of dates, dinners, drinks, axe throwing, whatever.
I can't even laugh at that. I went axe throwing on a date.
Well, it's a thing you can do now.
It's fun.
Yeah.
We had a good time.
I went at my wife's cousin's bachelor party, and I talked about it. I was crestfallen at how awful I was at that.
I was really good.
I was piss poor at the axe throwing. Now, granted, the first and only time I've ever done it, but with a little bit of knowledge of physics, you think, oh, I'm not gonna like murder at this, but I should be able to do it to keep from the butt continuously bouncing off the target.
What is the?
I sucked.
What's the weirdest date the weirdest date activity you guys have done?
Not having sex.
Yeah.
All right.
You mean when I was single?
Despite the obvious, yeah.
The weirdest date?
Yeah, like
the
activity, like a buggy ride or something around the city, or I don't know.
Is that weird?
Yeah, for
that's
like,
weird.
Yeah, that is a buggy ride.
I gotta tell you,
uncommon.
I was always a pretty traditional dater.
Yeah,
I liked going to dinner.
Mm-hmm.
I liked hanging out, and you know, I was never like, let's go bungee jump. And I'm not on television. This isn't The Bachelor,
right?
You know.
I don't go on a lot of dates. I've probably, honestly, real dates in my life, I've probably been on like 10, 15 maybe, if that, since I've been single. How sad is that?
Dates.
Since 2017, I've been on probably 15 real dates.
I had more dates than that.
Five
when I was
of them
in the
were
closet.
With the same guy. Yeah. Like, I don't go on people. I had a phone interview last night, and the guy asked me the exact same question. He was like, what is the weirdest date you've ever been on? I'm like, I don't go on dates, so I don't really have any weird ones.
What?
I mean, I've been on dates that are weird because the other person was
That's
weird.
That's what
but,
I
like,
said.
Everything that, like, I don't know, the activities are all pretty normal.
I don't like doing, like, date activities. Like, I've been wanting to go around here, around the corner to Topgolf. Mm-hmm. I feel like that would
Top
be fun.
What?
Topgolf.
What?
Topgolf.
What?
Topgolf.
Topgolf.
But I don't want to go on a date there. I just want to do it as an activity because I feel like I would embarrass myself.
I'll go there with you.
I'll go, too.
We should just do an outing. Like,
I'll go, yeah,
days.
For sure.
Yeah, I've
as
done
far
like
as dates go, though.
Like putt-putt and bumper cars and stuff like that. When you're Mormon and you're
bumper
dating,
cars.
There's a lot
oh,
of that.
Oh, yeah, I was
going to
say.
There's a lot of because you're not going to bars, you're not going to, you
when
know.
You're sober, it's the same thing.
Yeah, so you're just like,
so
okay,
being
like
sober is
roller
like,
skating?
It is,
it's
yeah.
like Mormon dating.
It's like, what activity can we go
yeah.
do?
So but, guys, just FYI, when you date Mary Santor, it's like dating a Mormon. Just if you
right.
put it in that terminology.
Just plan any activity.
There you go.
Even when I first got out of my marriage, like, I went on a date with a girl. I took her
We went roller skating and they
had like bumper boats and stuff like that. Women love that.
It was great.
Women want you to have any plan. Yeah. Any plan. It doesn't matter what the plan is.
Yes, but I would have to draw the line at roller skating.
Really?
I would not go on a date to roller
skating. What about ice skating? What about ice skating?
A first date?
I don't know if it was our first date, but it was like one of the first dates.
No, I'm great at it. I'm just saying that's something where like you gotta, huh?
It was fun. We had a good time. And she was impressed at how good I was at roller skating. I was much better than her.
So she was easily impressed, is what you're saying.
She just was. You don't expect a guy, I don't know.
Of your stature to be good on skates. I wouldn't. Mm-hmm. I'd be like, this dude's going to fall down.
But I mean, we've all been skating since we were children. I mean, how can you be bad at roller skating? Like, it's not ice skating where you can slip, and it's, you know, roller skating.
There's
like,
a lot of people that are bad at roller skating.
All right.
Yeah. I'm good at ice skating, too.
That's I fell down twice. Mm-hmm. I have such a huge bruise on my knee from that.
But roller skating for a first date, to me...
I don't mind.
That, to me, sounds like I've missed a lot of other things.
Like, there are other options you could have chosen?
If I've gotten to roller skating, I've missed a lot of other things.
Yeah. I think she mentioned she wanted to do something like that, so I was like, well,
then she led you
to it. I don't remember exactly, but I remember we went and we had a really good time.
I invited a date to one of my college house parties. And that was one of the nights that I blacked out. So I was like, did you have a good time? He was like, yeah. And like, he never talked to me again after that because I like got completely wasted. And
because you were nervous or what?
No, it was just a house party. And I was like, oh, this is the first time we're meeting. He was a grinder guy. So I was like, yeah, you know, we'll bang and you know, you could get a couple drinks out of it, whatever. And he came to the party and I don't think I saw him like the entire time. And apparently we slept in the same bed together. So I don't know if something went down or not, but because I'm stupid. Yeah.
I went on a date with a guy in college, and this is before I smoked weed and I wasn't really into it. We went to dinner. I remember he asked me, like, what I wanted. He's like, anything in the world, what do you want? I was like, let's go get steak. And he's like, okay. So we went to, like, Texas Roadhouse or something, and he ordered a salad.
Mm-hmm.
And so then I was like, well, I'm not going to order a steak if he orders salad. So we ate salads.
Stupid. Oh,
and then we went to
ordered a salad at a steak joint.
He did.
I don't do that.
He ordered a Caesar salad. And then I was like, I'd never really dated before. I had just gotten out of my high school sweetheart relationship. And then we went to a head shop because he wanted to buy a new bong. Mm-hmm. So we went and bought a new bong that he spent like $70 on. And then,
that's why he got the salad.
I'm sure.
He needed bong money.
So then...
That's a good date.
He probably did like 3 or 4 bong rips.
Oh, that's too much.
I might have smoked a half a one. And then we went in and watched Planet of the Apes.
The original or the Mark Wahlberg travesty?
This is like 2000...
So Mark Wahlberg.
13 maybe? Yeah. 2012, 11,
smoke
somewhere
weed
around there.
Every day.
The Mark Wahlberg one.
Yes. Yeah. And then I was so not into the movie at all. And then when we went to leave, he fist bumped me.
Oh, I just
good thing he fist bumped.
Yeah. I'm glad bumped was in there. Yeah. Yeah.
I went to go get out of his Jeep and went to go give him a hug, and he was like, no, no, no. And he like put out his arm to
How was your date? He fisted me. It was all right.
Fist
what? Yeah, he held out his bumped. Oh.
He fist bumped.
It had never happened before. I didn't know it was called that.
See, so that's not really like an awkward... It's not like a weird date. I mean, dinner, movies, I mean, going to a head shop was kind of weird. It's just not... wasn't a great one.
Yeah, mine wasn't like... This particular experience wasn't necessarily a date. It was more of a hookup, but something really bad happened during that time because we were hooking up, and while we were hooking up, my guy just happened to look at his phone, and he just saw... He was like, Robin Williams just committed suicide.
Oh, my God.
So
timing,
we can't continue.
Oh, this is during my goodness.
It was on Akron campus during the gay games when they were there, and I'm just in this guy's hotel room, and he's just like bawling. He's like, I loved him. He was so great. I was like, so
he's just like he's crying while singing the genie song to you.
He just let out a long sob, and I was like, he was like,
you ain't never had a friend like me,
and I was like. Did I use teeth? Like, what's going on? Like,
he was crying because Robin Williams died?
Yes, he was like, that's so sad. He committed suicide. And I was just like, okay.
I'll see you later. I guess.
I was so mad. I was like,
call it a night.
Kind of walk back to campus by myself.
Could he have been overplaying it just to get you out of there?
No, because he legit looked at his phone.
Rick Rufus Kroll you? Yeah, but I mean.
I think he was trying to.
I think we were all bummed by Robin Williams killing himself. I don't know if anyone was.
But he was a gay. I don't know.
So?
I don't know.
I cried when
you didn't cry. You're gay.
It seemed authentic. It could have been. I mean, I could be the sucker, but he was fine.
Like,
one second, he was fine. One second, the next, he let out a long, you know, So
I mean, that's kind of the result you want anyway, right?
For the right reasons.
A little shiver.
A quiver.
Mm-hmm. Siri was very upset when Robin Williams killed himself.
Man, I have not been on dates. I'm like really racking my brain trying to recant. Is that the word I want? Recant the
date. Recount.
Dates. Recount.
Yeah. You have a weird schedule, though.
Yeah.
You have a strange schedule.
Yeah.
And you have very specific likes and dislikes.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to end up like this guy. I've got $25,000. You know what I mean? Where he's like strangely jacked, but yeah. It still has not made everything.
Doesn't make him attractive.
Everything he's done to the outside has not garnered him a mate.
Right.
Right.
Look at all the popular women comedians. I don't think any of them really have husbands besides Amy Schumer.
Well, they do. Amy Schumer. A lot of them are married. Whitney Cummings is engaged.
Tiffany Haddish doesn't have a man, and another.
But they don't. What they have in common is they don't get married until they're into like their 40s. They make their career, they build it, and then they're like, okay, now that I've established this.
But are any of them doing a sex auction at Hilarities tonight?
It's not a sex auction. Please stop.
I'm sorry. Mike Polk Jr.'s sex auction.
Live. Fueled by Jack Daniel's Tennessee whiskey.
Use this in my night.
I saw Polk's got a billboard over on the Shoreway, which is pretty cool.
I saw that too. Yeah. His face.
I saw it. I'm like, hey, there's my guy.
Sex Cauldron. I thought they closed that place down.
Mike Polk and Mary Santora's Sex Cauldron tonight at Hilarities.
A witching Fort good Street. Time.
What time is it? 8 o'clock?
8 o'clock.
$5?
$5. I'm going home to change first.
Are you going to be up on are you going to be up in the stocks or how's that going to work?
I'm
going to be up on
the
platform.
The chandelier.
All right.
You have to catch me in a net or it doesn't count.
Catch you in a net.
I'm jumping from a chandelier and if you catch me in your net then we're dating.
All right. What if somebody lassos you with a pair of wide whale cords?
Do people
what
have to bring
part
their own
of my
nets?
Body are they lassoing? Yes, you have to bring your own net. BYON. Right, some fishermen out there, like finally.
That's exciting.
That is gross.
It's the Alan Cox Show. The whole thing is f-ing pointless on 100.7 WMMS.
If you strike out with me, by the way, and you want to go to the Tattoo Arts Convention, we've got tickets for you. Online, go to alancockshow.com. Use the keyword contests, and you can try to win some tickets there. Another chance for you to get yourself $1,000 at 3:30, about 7 or 8 minutes from now. Last week for you to go fund yourself up to 16 times a day. You can grab $1,000. So last week for it, but still plenty of chances between now and a Friday night for it to score some gaish. 1 hour from now, another pair of tickets for Rage Against the Machine. I have those for you at 4:20 all this week. It's the only time all day here at WMMS that you can get those tickets.
And if you're
4:20,
a live stream listener, I don't put the contest on the live stream because there's a delay. So you wouldn't have a chance to call in at the right time anyway.
Same thing with people listening on the app.
Yeah, if you're listening on the app, you're listening on the live stream, watching on the live stream, around 4:20, that's when you turn on the actual radio.
There you go.
And call in.
Yeah. So Rage Against the Machine has set July 29th for their date at the Romo Fijo with Run the Jewels, and I will have those tickets for you all week at 4:20. I'm out on Thursday, but I will still have a thing where you can win at 4:20 on Thursday. So keep that in mind. And then we'll be giving away we're giving away Stones tickets at the show site now, but we'll be giving away on the show very soon, too. June 19th is when the Stones will make their return to Cleveland after 18 years, I think somebody said.
I'm loving the GA tickets, too, for the Rage show. I love that idea.
If you get there, I mean, I shudder to think what those lines are going to look like.
It's going
to
be ridiculous, but
I realize I like that's an old guy thing to say.
Mm-hmm. No, it's real.
But it is real. So the tickets are $125 a pop, but it's general admission. So you figure all that out. Can you feel it? We're 30 seconds away from the happiest time of the day. They determined that 3:25 in the afternoon is when people are happiest.
That's when I feel sleepiest.
At work. Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, sleepiest.
I'm pretty tired.
3:25?
Yes.
Yeah?
Whenever
maybe don't send so many broom pictures at midnight.
Okay, first of all, I needed to do my laundry. Okay? I was awake, and it had to happen.
Yeah.
Second
why do you do laundry in the morning?
because I have other things I need to do in the morning. That's when I either go to the gym or I'll work out or I'll prep stuff.
You'll go to the gym or you'll work out.
I'll go to the gym or I'll work out because going to the gym does not mean that I'm working out, just so you know.
Is that where you're testing your new laundry? Your freshly yes. laundered clothes?
That's taking actually selfies, where I do yeah. my laundry.
At the gym?
At the gym.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yep. I just wash them in the showers.
Mm-hmm.
And then I hang them to dry, or I
do
use.
Do you beat
like
them against rocks that are like yeah. metal weight plates?
Yeah, barbells, yeah. Squat rack. I just take all my laundry and I bring it in dirty,
okay.
and it leaves pretty clean. To mm-hmm. be honest with you,
all right.
No, but that's when I do work. I didn't mean to say workout. Like I'll be doing my website or emails or this or that or catching up on stand up stuff and editing whatever and. All that happens before the show, because at nighttime...
Yeah, but you could do your laundry while you're doing that.
A lot it's of that just, stuff doesn't take place from home, though. I can't get work done from home, so I need to go to, like, a coffee shop.
You can't get work done from home.
No. I've tried 1,000 different things. Everyone's like, oh, just get ready for the day, like you're going to go into the office. And I'm like, it does not change things, because I spend so...
It's a mental block.
I spend so little time at home that when I am there, I'm not doing anything else. I want to relax. I don't get to be in my house often, and I just can't mentally make the switch to turn it from, like, relaxing on my couch or sleeping in or whatever it might be. I can't switch it on and off to be like, okay, now it's work mode until I, like, go to a coffee shop or go to the library to actually sit down and do work.
Hmm.
Library.
Interesting. Library, sorry.
Okay. The library.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay.
Plus, I feel like I never time it out right to do laundry in the morning. Because I've been, like I said, we have one washer and one dryer, so if it's being used, I am screwed. Or mm-hmm. The
Your
dryer...
Your whole building has one washer and one dryer.
It's only six units, yeah.
Oh.
It's still, in the basement, yeah.
They should have more than
I think
one.
They'd have two.
There, yeah. It's one old dude that runs the place. He doesn't hire anybody to do anything. He's been banging around on water heaters and stuff all week, so this guy is like...
And I bet you they charge you for the washer and dryer, don't they?
Yeah, it's $1 to wash, $1.50 to wash, $1 to dry.
Do you actually have to like put the money in the
you
machine?
Put the quarters in and push it.
Oh, wow, that is old-fashioned.
Yes.
Because we had a card like when I lived in... like. When I was throwing hands on Prospect Avenue, like my old apartment building even had like a little card you put in, and that's how you change your
quarters. And if you're lucky, your clothes come out of the dryer somewhat damp.
Yeah.
If you're lucky.
Well, the dryer takes an hour and 20 minutes.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
It takes 80 minutes to dry your clothes. So that's when you're like, why are you up at... I'm like, I started my laundry at 7 o'clock when I got home.
Oh, my God.
But by the time it's done, I'm dead serious. One load of laundry takes almost 2 hours.
I got you.
I used to get so pissed when people would want to come down and do laundry. And like, if I still had a load sitting in there from before, I would come back down and like put it in the dryer and my stuff sitting on top of like the dryer just all
wet. That's your
wet.
Fault.
That's
you
not
need to
my
set
fault.
An alarm. Yes,
that
it is.
That is not my fault. Like,
you need to set an alarm. If it takes 35 minutes to
don't
do
touch
wash,
my crap.
Don't leave it in the washer. I'm 100%
right
on
with
their
you.
Team, yeah.
I'm on Mary's side with this.
If you leave your
if
stuff
you leave stuff in there and there's a limited amount of washers to use, I'm pulling your crap out.
It's on you to know the timing of the washer.
I set alarms on my phone. Even doing laundry at midnight, I set an alarm on my phone to like go at least check it and be like, all right, I'll check back in 5 minutes or whatever if it's not done yet.
Like I have literally like maybe taking a nap, and sometimes I miss my alarm because I usually do set an alarm. I obviously want my clothes done. I don't want to deal with that all night. But there have been times where, like, I've woken up late or asleep through my alarm, and then I come down there and it's just like a big pile of wetness.
Yeah,
water,
that's your fault.
Water dripping from the washer. I'm like, I'll put my finger in somebody's face when they come down the steps.
You
I'm
don't
like,
have
no.
any right to put your finger in someone's face. That's your fault.
Yeah.
I'm trying to see. I'm like, okay, was
you're
it
you're lucky if I put it on top of the washer.
Was it a woman
it
or a
ground.
Man? I'm trying to look inside the washer underneath and see like what type of clothes there are. So I'm like, if it's a woman, I was like, I'm going to put my finger in her face. I was like, if it's a dude, he getting clapped.
What a tough guy.
Mm-hmm.
If it's a woman, I'm going to yell at her. If it's a guy, I won't do anything.
I will put my pinky in their nostril. Don't mess with me.
Pinky in the nostril. Now
you're wrong in that situation. So
it only happened a couple times, but it happened.
Now, why shouldn't they mess with you?
Or why shouldn't they just remove your clothes to do their own laundry?
But he said, don't mess with me. Why shouldn't they mess with you?
Because I'm mean.
How so?
I mean when I'm angry and I say mean things.
You're petty. That's not mean.
Yeah.
That's not so.
Don't let me get you.
But what's that got to do with somebody in a laundry context?
I mean, okay, but that's fine. You take my clothes.
Might work on Twitter.
Take my clothes.
How does it work
washer?
In the laundry room?
If you give me an opportunity to get you, I'm going to take every opportunity to get you. Like, if I see an opportunity, like down there, if you are late one day, I'm going to take your stuff out. If I see that...
Yeah, that's the
that's
rule.
What you should do.
Yeah, that's
if you
what
leave
they're
your
saying.
Stuff in there,
mm-hmm. That's what
it gets
Bill
taken
and
out.
Mary are saying.
If I see them on the side of the road and they just need help, I'm going to just drive right past. Like,
Different than mistiming your laundry alarm.
If they're like, if they need help carrying groceries in, and they're shorthanded, and they fall on the ice, oops.
But you wouldn't do those things anyway.
Yes, I would.
You wouldn't do any of those things.
I was a wonderful neighbor when I lived in that apartment.
You were helping people carry groceries in?
Yes, because Bill saw my apartment building. It was so weird, because you had to have a key to get into the courtyard, then you had to have a key to get into the lobby, then you had to have a key to get into my apartment. There was like three keys. Nothing was automatic, so if you're carrying stuff in, it will be like
a
20-minute process. So yeah. Yes, we would help each other out. We would hold the gate open for each other. Let me find out that you were the one that took my stuff out of the washer. I'm closing that gate right in your face.
But the bottom line is, you're responsible for your laundry.
You're not acknowledging the fact that you're wrong. In leaving your stuff in the washer, but, even if you nap or whatever it is, that is your fault, not theirs.
And takes like 20 minutes.
That's what I'm saying. Mine takes like almost 50.
It's like being late for an appointment. What you're telling them is that your time is more valuable than theirs.
I'm saying stuff happens.
Everybody has the same limited amount of time to do laundry.
I mean, not necessarily. At that time, I really didn't.
So you mean you had more time to do laundry?
He was even more negligent.
No, I had less time.
Okay, well then you should have been even more vigilant about doing laundry.
You're missing the point that I was like so exhausted. I'm like, oh my gosh, like this, I have so much.
Doesn't matter.
I slept through my alarm. I slept through my alarm.
So what? It's your fault.
Sleeping through the alarm is such a hard thing to do.
And it's not real.
I had to be really, really
sleepy. That's like telling someone I didn't get your text. Yes, you did. You ignored it. You didn't sleep through your alarm. It went off and you shut it off and you went back to sleep.
No, that's not true. I really have slept.
So it was still going on. Your alarm was still going off when you woke up.
No, my alarm goes off. Like there is, it'll go for maybe like 10 minutes and then after a while it'll just shut off.
And you slept through 10 minutes of an alarm.
Apparently.
On your phone?
Yes.
I don't believe 1 second of that.
I don't believe you.
You don't believe me saying what?
I don't believe
he doesn't
you,
believe that you don't
me.
Believe him.
Yes, I don't believe that. Because
that
happens.
I don't understand how any person could sleep through a phone alarm.
It happens all the time.
I don't believe... that's fine. You can say that. I don't believe it.
People sleep through their alarms all the time.
No, I think a lot of people will say that they sleep through their alarm.
They hit snooze.
But they are
snoozing
it.
They turn it off and go back to sleep.
They're turning it off and going back to sleep.
I've done that plenty of times. Yeah.
Although...
And if I did do it, I don't remember doing it.
That's the whole point. People are still sleeping.
But like, does that still count?
Yes.
Yes, because you're a grown-ass person and responsible for what you do.
Try
telling your boss, I slept through my alarm, and that's why I'm 2 hours late. They don't care.
And I would be
they're not going to care. They go, well, get two alarms. Mm-hmm. Get three alarms.
Mm-hmm.
Get a vibrating pillowcase that's hooked up to your alarm.
At this point now, I have three alarms.
If it was important enough, the point is, if things are important enough to someone... They'll figure out.
Yes,
how to
but
get
I didn't
through.
Think it was that important. It was some laundry. Like I didn't think.
And
you
that's
had to
why
out.
You turned off your alarm.
I didn't turn off my.
Because it wasn't that important to you.
I didn't turn
that's
off my
right.
alarm.
That's right. If you had somebody coming over to get a little something, something, you wouldn't sleep through your goddamn alarm.
I did have someone come over. That's why I wanted my goddamn laundry done.
Well, but you wouldn't sleep through your alarm.
I'm sure I
set two or three alarms.
I certainly have. I was notifying this guy on Grindr, and he was getting ready to come over, and it was right after I got done bartending or bar backing, and it was the end of the night or early morning, and he's like, hey, let me come through.
Too much pound cake!
And then right when he was parking outside, I fell asleep.
I had a guy say that. He was like, hey, he lived an hour away. He was like, if you still want to come over tonight, I just want you to know that I'm really tired, and I might be asleep when you get here. I was like, well, I'm not playing this game with you either. I'm going to come over. Yeah. I'm not. And he was like, well, no, still come, but just don't be mad at me if I'm asleep when you get here.
You might be asleep.
And I was like, I will 100%. I said that to him. I was like, I will 100% be mad at you if I drive an hour and you're asleep.
Absolutely.
And he was like, well, I'm just letting you know. I'm like, then we're just not going to hang out tonight. Yeah.
But I felt terrible.
Could you imagine being somebody who was so upset because somebody was asleep when they got to their place? I was trying to find video for this and I couldn't find it. I just had the audio for you. This is a woman who was on a plane in Europe. This is a woman and the plane is going through a lot of turbulence. And they're attempting to land the plane. This was going from Madrid to Amsterdam. And everybody on the plane is pretty freaked out because the weather prevented the plane from landing on multiple attempts. So they're trying to get the plane down. There are 300 passengers on board, and they got caught in Storm Sierra. Spelled like the singer. And the plane
eventually...
Huh?
Is it spelled like the
nope,
mist?
Nope, different spelling. The plane eventually had to go back to Spain after three failed attempts. Now, I don't know the distance between Spain and Amsterdam, but it must not be a really long way if you can't land in Amsterdam and they go, let's just go back to Spain. It's not like New York to L.A. But this woman is flipping out. So imagine you're already stressed out, right? Mm-hmm. And then that woman is on there screaming her goddamn head off.
What do you even say to somebody that?
You're like, lady, if we're going to die, we're going to die, all right? Would you calm down?
We're already in the air, yeah.
Yeah.
No, but you can't tell her to calm down if she thinks we're going to die.
But then tell anybody. Either. No, yeah. She can do about it.
Right.
Yeah, so, I mean, I'm going to cry. I would definitely cry.
Did you hear everybody else screaming on that plane? No. They're all in the same plane. There's one woman screaming.
Because they didn't think they were going to die. But if she thought they were going to die,
they all had the same information.
They all had this. They're all in the same pressurized metal tube going 800 miles an hour in a storm.
Yeah,
they're all freaking out.
It's uncomfortable, but yeah, so is the landing. I mean, you can't tell somebody how they are supposed to react to that. To receiving information.
I would want to go over to her and be like, lady, listen, you gotta, what do you do?
You can't
start
do
reading the Bible to her. What do you think would calm her down?
Nothing.
Start quoting scriptures. I don't know.
Yeah, you give her the airplane slap.
What is that?
The slap from the movie Airplane.
From the movie Airplane. Yeah. Oh. Maybe you get her a Sierra Mist.
Ma'am, would you like a free cocktail? Yes. Thank you.
Somebody please punch that woman in the face repeatedly. I'm gonna try to land this plane again. Amsterdam, this storm. It's tough. We're gonna try to get back to Spain. If anybody on this plane hablas Espanol, please come up to the cockpit.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Try to get a fresh pair of shorts for my co-pilot. And if that woman who was back there is all right, apparently she's still
there. This audio pound cake coming back and finding his clothes all taken out of the washing machine.
No, I wanted to spit fire. I wasn't sad, I was angry.
If you're a person in 34B, whose clothes are still in the washer, in the back of the plane, please remove them, put them in the dryer and cargo. And, I'm going to try to get this plane back to Spain. Again, if... anything from us?
I just pictured him pitching the credit card. He signed up for the United
Miles. Oh, my God.
Yeah, 60,000 bonus miles.
This opportunity will never come again.
Hey, what if we all live through this? You could sell 60,000 bonus miles. Free subscription to Sky Mall.
This one-of-a-kind offer.
One-of-a-kind offer.
Once in a lifetime.
At the end, she was screaming like she was getting stabbed. Like, she was screaming like there was physical pain going on in her body.
She could have been getting stabbed as she was going down. You don't know. Everyone's jumping to the conclusion. She could be like, this guy's trying to murder me while they're trying to land the plane.
Ladies and gentlemen, please calm down. Please listen to me. Thank you. We've been thrown off course just a tad and can't seem to change course.
Miss, are you telling us absolutely everything?
Not exactly. We're also out of coffee.
Oh, it was a simpler time for jokes, wasn't it, Bill? Oh, we're also out of coffee.
Tee-hee. It's funny.
Oh, stewardess, I speak jive. You'll notice they've never remade the movie Airplane.
Yeah.
I mean, how are you going to improve on that film?
Have you watched Soul Plane?
Thankfully, no. I have never watched Soul Plane. Wasn't Kevin Hart in that?
That was I feel like that was his debut movie.
I feel like that was...
It wasn't 4-Year-Old Virgin.
It wasn't his first movie, but it was one of the first that he starred in. But it's also... He's talked about this on, like, podcasts before, where that one was one of the most pirated movies, and it bombed real hard at the box office, but it's only because 6 months earlier, someone got a copy of it and just made DVDs and sold them all in the hood.
Really?
So, like, everybody saw it, but nobody went to see it.
Nobody paid to see it.
Right, and he was. It was also the movie where I think he has said, that's when I decided I really needed to step up my stand-up game,
because
I didn't want to make crap like Soul Plane for the rest of my life.
I don't think he had his production company back then.
I didn't want to get typecast. No, everything he ended up having was from putting his nose to the grindstone and getting back and doing stand-up again.
Because in Hollywood, they didn't care that people saw it. They cared that the box office was real low, so they're like, well, you're not going to be in any more movies. So then he went out on the road and just built up a huge stand-up audience.
Good you point. Probably ended up watching a pirated copy, Poundcake.
Probably. Now that I think about it,
it was mixed in with the porn you were selling at school. You're like, hey, what is this? Soul Plane?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my, come on.
My porn empire.
Yeah. I wanted white bolts, black nuts. What is this?
I thought it was a feet porn, like a foot porn. S-O-L-E.
Foot porn?
A soul plane.
Soul plane.
Yeah.
Oh,
memory lane.
Soul plane. Or 800-348-1007. 35192. I want to send me a text about a half an hour away. 420 is when I will have the next pair of tickets for you to get to Rage Against the Machine and Run the Jewels. The Cleveland stop is going to happen at the Romo Fijo on July the 29th. And the tickets are on sale Thursday morning. They're $1.25 a pop. But it's been a minute since those guys have been together and been on tour. So 420 today and the remainder of this week, you'll be able to get those tickets from me. Alan, I was next to a woman who was very, very scared on a plane, and I told her that I had crushing debt and a miserable job, and there was no way I was getting off easy by dying in a plane crash. She was calm the rest of the flight.
I don't even know what I would say to somebody if they were reacting that way. I mean, you can't talk sense into somebody like that. You know what I mean? You just hug them or sit on them. What would you do?
I'd say calm down.
That doesn't help.
I say that to every woman when she gets upset, Mary. So, yeah, it works.
And your success rate is a divorce,
110%.
Okay. Oh, okay. I didn't realize.
100. Yeah, that's why I got divorced. I was telling her to calm down all the time.
Yeah.
That was the one and only problem that I had the first time I got married. Somebody just told her that her seat would not be in the same place after the crash. No wonder she was upset. No wonder she was freaking out. Yeah. Alan, that's what Poundcake's going to sound like after he has to do his polar blast punishment.
You got the peppers coming tomorrow.
Wait, so are we doing this on this Friday?
You can do it whenever. I don't know what you decide, but my friend's dropping them off tomorrow. So
if you want to do yours on Valentine's Day, I'm all for it.
Oh, yeah, I didn't even think about that.
Not like I have a Valentine, so what difference does it make? I have to mentally prepare for it, so, I mean...
Well, then you tell me.
Well, the preacher that was talking about the lattes, I think he's got some pretty good advice for you, or what you're going to feel.
Burning, burning, burning.
Burning,
burning. The beeholes.
You burn in the beehole.
I have a different friend who makes weed-infused almond milk. Would you like me to bring that as well? And that's what you can wash down the place with.
I have to drive home, people.
But I'll take you home and you can have a nice weekend.
Let me sleep on it.
Just high out of your mind on the toilet all weekend.
Because at the same, like, on one end, I'm like, I don't want this lingering over my head.
Which end?
But also, I'm like, I don't want it to be like this week. Ugh. Like, I want to get it over with, but I don't want it hanging over my head either.
We'll get cancer in the butthole. It'll burn and burn and burn.
Get a letter from Nate. He said, I did that hot wing challenge before, and it did not matter how much water or milk I had. Someone told me to wash the area around my mouth and my entire tongue with regular hand soap.
Ooh. I just think of the scene in Dumb and Dumber where they're squeezing the ketchup and the mustard, and they're like, here, this helps. Trying to get rid of that pepper.
Poundcake will not be able to sit down for a little while.
Well, it's going to be at the end of the show, so.
Yeah.
Sit down. Like,
it's we'll not, get cancer in the butthole.
It's not coming out of my...
It'll burn and burn and burn.
No, not that day, but by the end of the weekend it will. See, it's the gift that keeps on giving.
Yeah.
When it goes in, a lot of fun. When it comes out, probably even more so.
Yeah, you don't have to do it this week, but the option will be there.
I'm going to sleep on it, and then, I mean, if they're coming tomorrow, they're here, they're not going anywhere.
They'll be here, so. They're not going anywhere.
Is it cooked, or is it raw?
It's... raw, yeah, and it's dried.
Yeah, I don't know.
I was told that we should soak it in like oil or water to make it easier to chew.
I don't know. My friend said he took a little bite out of one of them, and it was still pretty hot. He was like, he took
I just like the chewy
part. What type of sadist is he? He's just taking bites.
He said he took a real small piece to see that, to make sure it was still hot, and he said that his mouth from the small bite was hot for like 25 minutes. So from one little small bite, you're going to eat a whole one.
This guy, I'm going to have a come to Jesus moment.
You're going to be like that lady.
One of the wettest we've ever seen from the standpoint of water.
And I'm hearing like...
Do you want to do you want to switch to the shaving the top of your head?
Does that still stand?
Sure.
No, I'm not doing that. No. Like, and as I was saying yesterday, you were calling me brave for doing this. No, I'm not brave because I'm doing this. I don't want to
do
this.
If you do it,
I'm not
brave.
I'm not volunteering to do this. I'm doing this because I had to choose something.
You're doing it because you lost, like, because I was the winner.
Being brave would be like, I volunteer's tribute with nothing out of it. Like, if I didn't think that I would be a lame-o and my job would be at risk, I wouldn't be doing it. I don't want to do it. But
job at risk.
He is getting fired if he doesn't do it. That was in the contract. Getting,
he still might.
I'm getting fired.
Yeah, you might get fired even if you do it.
While I eat the pepper.
You chew it up, swallow it, and Alan's like, listen, we're going to have a talk.
I'm going to need to see you in my office. Thank you.
Yeah, let me
Well, yeah, so you tell me what Friday you want to do it.
Okay, yeah, I totally do it. I know I'm getting dental work done on Thursday. So I was like, I don't know.
There you go. You might as well just numb your whole face. Keep it going.
No, on Thursday, like, Nora's birthday, like, we're out. So that day I'm getting dental work done because that's the only time I have, like, the afternoon open.
Right.
But I don't want to go the next day and be like, all right, well, I'm about to light my mouth aflame. Like, you know. So we'll see. Okay. I'll see what the dentist says.
You're not having anything pulled, are you?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I guess we'll see what the dentist says.
But what are you going in for?
Just a cleaning.
You don't know when you're going in for a cleaning if you're going to walk out having a tooth pulled?
If it's been a few years, you don't know.
Well, no, I'm not having any pain or anything like that, so I'm assuming it's just a routine cleaning. Hopefully they don't find any cavities or anything like that, because then that would factor into it, I'm guessing. But yeah, I'm assuming everything goes right.
Doc, how's it look? Because I'm set to eat a hot pepper tomorrow.
I mean, really?
Is this gonna exacerbate my canker sores?
Like, I have been looking up remedies to, like, make it better, like, yeah, on how to, you know, survive eating the pepper, but I haven't watched any videos of people eating the peppers because I don't want to think about it.
Well, listen, I haven't seen anybody who didn't survive it, but my take on it is that there's really no way to make it any more palatable.
Yeah, you're just going to be very uncomfortable.
Yeah, that's the whole point.
I'm gonna dip it in some ranch.
There you go.
Dip it in ranch. Talking about how in Virginia they're trying to make it illegal for single people to have sex. Still technically illegal.
They're trying
there.
To make it legal.
They're trying to make it legal. Right. Still technically illegal. Yeah, they're trying to legalize single sex. And I didn't realize, and I'm so happy that I found this out and that I've never gotten pinched any time we've gone to Toronto. You know, we go quite frequently. And I didn't realize that you can't own a squirrel there.
What?
And
can you cohabitate with one?
Yeah, common law.
Now, what if your squirrel is your companion and not your pet?
Yeah.
That is the question I would pose.
If you're not, yeah, if you didn't pay for the squirrel. Is it really your squirrel?
I only mention this because Toronto has got an amazing water skiing squirrel. Oh, right?
I saw him.
Twiggy.
Twiggy.
Twiggy the water skiing squirrel. Well, now they said because it is illegal to own a squirrel, that the purveyor of that little bit of entertainment might be on the hook for breaking the law.
Like because jail they
have
time?
I don't know. But can't we just have one or two fun things anymore in the world?
No.
Why you got to crack down? Is a water skiing squirrel the lowest hanging fruit? Of course.
I was at the boat show. I did it last year and I did it this year at the IX Center. And last year, Twiggy was there. And this year, not there. And there were a lot of people very upset
yes.
that Twiggy was not there
Twiggy
this year.
Twiggy fan club.
Because it's entertaining.
Yeah. They got the Twig heads. Twiggy shirts. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
But down here, you're not going to get arrested for it.
Yeah. They just
up in Canada.
We should offer them citizenship.
Yes.
Who's
come down
marry
here.
The squirrel?
You know, it's not a green card situation.
Marrying the squirrel.
Mary and the Squirrel could be the name of your podcast.
It could be.
Yeah.
Go, Twiggy! Go, Twiggy! Oh, my gosh. Is this the cutest thing?
People decided years ago in the city government, and I think with the support of the population, that we weren't going to allow animals like squirrels to be taken in by people. They're wild animals, and they live, thank goodness. We have healthy animal population in the city. A bylaw was passed saying you can't keep a gray squirrel as a pet. Then when a gray squirrel is kept in captivity and used for a water skiing show, that is not in compliance with the law. People mock it and say it seems like a silly allocation of time of city workers or whatever. But the law is the law.
See, even the animals in Canada are healthier. They have a healthy wildlife population.
Actually, but
because of that nationalized medicine.
The reason that healthcare in America is the way it is because of Hollywood and it being a plot point in so many movies and television shows.
Oh, you think they want to keep that going, like
yeah.
John Q, and, you know,
right.
I've got to fight to save my child. He needs life-saving care, and
Hot
I need to
Rod.
Rob this bank.
Breaking Bad. There's
right.
so many movies where that's the main purpose of the movie. I need to raise money because our healthcare system's broken.
Every one of those are commentaries on the American healthcare system.
Mm-hmm.
And we need entertainment more than anything, more than healthcare, probably.
Well, laughter is the best medicine, so it makes sense for comedies. I don't know so much about
Breaking Bad
dramas.
Yeah.
Oh, you mean Breaking Bad wasn't a comedy?
It's a
There's
dramedy.
Funny moments.
It's a dramedy.
There's some funny moments in it for sure.
All right. SeaWorld is ending their dolphin surfing, by the way, too. I didn't even know, A, SeaWorld was still a thing, and B, SeaWorld was still a thing. But they're not going to have people surfing on the dolphins anymore.
I thought that documentary...
Free Willy!
No, yeah, that one. And the follow-up documentary, Free Willy 2. Blackfish, was that the name of it?
Yeah, like the Japanese dolphin...
No, it was about America, wasn't it? Didn't
that happen
here?
I thought it was Japanese.
No, Killicum. He killed his...
SeaWorld stuff, right?
It was SeaWorld. The killer whale drowned its trainer. I thought that happened in America.
I must be thinking of something else. Yeah, Blackfish, yeah.
Yeah.
Problems in
that,
the sea park industry.
I thought that, like, killed all of SeaWorld's
It got rid
revenue.
Of a lot of it, yeah.
Yeah.
They've still been doing it, though.
Mm. There's only, like, one or two open still, though.
I love that PETA owns stock in SeaWorld Entertainment.
Do they really?
Yeah. Because I guess they probably figured, hey, if we want to change some things, we got to do it from the inside.
That's true. I didn't think of it that way.
Yeah.
I was like, those hypocrites.
Well, no, because they're shareholders.
Yeah.
And so they're like, we want this to
they're
end.
They're hypocrites. Bitch.
It's not a sea animal. You knew that, right? You knew that, right? That hippos weren't sea creatures.
Totally.
Yeah. Okay.
I mean, they're...
They can swim.
You can see them in water. Sure. Flinging their tails around to attract a mate. Or is that the rhino? You know, a lot of times...
That's me on a Tuesday.
Rhinos, you know, they'll fling their tail as they're pooping.
Well,
it's one of the best videos of all time.
So they can disperse their feces and attract a mate. So a mate goes, look at that guy over there flinging his feces all over. I want to party with him.
Well, hippos are the rhinos of the sea, so makes
the
sense.
Rhinos. Listen,
the rhinos of the river.
It comes from the Greek for river horse.
Hey, there
so
you go.
So somebody was like, "That's a water animal,
mm-hmm.
right?"
So maybe Pancake's right.
As with everything else he mentions, he's always kind of right.
Mm-hmm.
He's always partially right.
We can track it back. We mm-hmm. can kind of follow the breadcrumbs. And be like, okay. Well.
And usually, no one's more surprised than he is to be kind of right.
I'm actually just kind of happy that you guys speak my language. And
we're getting there.
Sometimes I'm in this box. I'm just like, no one ever gets me. No one ever understands. And then sometimes
90% of the time, you are correct. Yes. Yeah.
But there's sometimes.
No one gets, right. Sometimes.
The other 10%, Bill corrects me and Mary gets
I
me.
I had one. Like, I don't even remember what it was. But I was like, oh, I hate I that
like,
I know that.
I was like, I'm so proud of you. And then in reality, I'm like, damn, I need to go back
speaking
to school.
Speaking in Kinkism.
Dumb.
Well, it's the Trump era. We've all had to get used to figuring word salad out.
Where you just kind of sit there, you're like, well,
things that don't
hold
make
on.
Sense, we've had, right. So you've benefited from that.
Everyone having to try harder to listen. We're just like, wait a minute.
Take something that makes zero sense and try to put it into some kind of mental box.
I don't know how I got this way. I don't know.
I don't know if it's a got this way type of thing.
Because your mouth works faster than your brain. That's why.
Yes, but sometimes I really do think like my sentences through. And when it comes,
when is that?
A lot of the time, but it just doesn't come out the way it sounds in my head.
That's what I'm saying. Your mouth works faster than your brain.
Do you think real words in your head?
I think he has a basic idea of the word. It's always close.
But I like, think there's people that don't have inner monologues.
Yeah, that I can talk in my head. Okay. Yes, I talk a lot in my head. I say a lot of things I probably shouldn't say out loud. So that's how I know I don't, you know, my mouth doesn't move faster than my brain, because I would say things that I wouldn't be allowed to say. Things I wouldn't get away with. I keep in my head.
I wonder what Alan's thinking right now.
Nothing. listen, I think that I have no inner monologue, Bill.
There are people that don't.
How could that be, though?
I don't believe that. Your brain has to generate the thought.
They have thoughts, but it's not...
How do we know that?
They don't hear their thoughts?
They don't have... It's
the inner voice?
Yeah, they don't have the inner voice.
That's what I mean. Like, they don't... When I have a thought, I feel like I can hear my voice thinking it.
Right, and they don't hear that.
They don't hear that.
So they can't keep a secret?
That's weird.
Right?
What does it sound like?
Well, how do we know this?
I have a friend that has this.
What's it called?
She's hanging out with her... boyfriend, or you know, they're not a label on it yet, and she was saying that she was trying to sound out a word out loud, and he's like, "You can't do that in your head," and she's like, "I can't hear any words in my head."
She's just coming up with an excuse to be a snitch
because she's trying to sound out a word.
No, got to do with the other?
Because if she has no inner monologue, then if someone can tell her a secret, and then like,
how does she read?
That's what I'm saying. You read in your head. If someone tells you something, you're like, don't repeat that.
She has to read out loud. That's the only way she can
Well,
read.
Because you think in language.
Yeah.
So
language terms.
Language terms.
I always thought about that.
You think in language. So, I mean, if you... I can't fathom not having an inner monologue.
Yeah, I can't even wrap my head around it.
I don't know how you would
read. And she doesn't even know how to really explain it, but it's not...
Well,
it's probably different, I think.
Well, I think about, like, if you're learning Spanish or something like that, people who Spanish is their second language, they think it in English first, and then they say it in Spanish. That's how it translates.
Well, when I was learning how to speak in Tagalog, I would start, you think what you want to say, and then you're translating it, but then it becomes second nature, so then I would start thinking in Tagalog, and then it'd get all mixed together, and I'd have dreams in Tagalog,
okay.
And then there's, like, words that I would just be speaking... And I would use Tagalog words mixed in with English. Like, it got messy.
I've always Esperanto. Thought about that. Mm-hmm. Because I was like, do Spanish people, like, people who learn Spanish, you know, as their first language, and they learn English, like, do they think in Spanish, and then it comes out in English? Because I'm like, I don't know. I've never...
Yeah.
I don't know.
I just... Your friends got me looking... I think of, like, when we had to read in class, did they ever give you those, like, there were pieces of almost like pipe that were shaped like a macaroni noodle for kids who had to read out loud? So that way you could, like, whisper into it without disturbing others, and then you could hear it.
I'm completely unfamiliar with
it. Never had that?
What is that?
Never heard of the macaroni pipe.
So, not like a metal pipe, like PVC macaroni, pipe. Yeah. Like PVC pipe.
Right, the macaroni reading pipe.
It was shaped like a macaroni noodle. It's like a half circle. Uh-huh. It was a half circle, so we would have reading time, right? Where
the
you go
macaroni
quietly
macaroni
read.
Pipe. They had that song, The Freshman, Bill, and then they really faded into obscurity.
We really would. We would have reading time, so it was a half hour or whatever, where you would go quietly read.
So you were whispering into a elbow macaroni PVC pipe?
I didn't need it, but some kids couldn't read unless they said it out loud, so I'm wondering if they had this thing, because they would have to take the they called it a macaroni pipe. They'd have to take the macaroni pipe, and so that way they could whisper the words,
without
and then hear it.
Everybody.
Without interrupting, that way it was still a quiet time. Yeah. You guys didn't do that?
No.
Maybe we had, like,
I was never exposed to
that. If that, like, we were in school in a different time, so if a kid couldn't read, you just make fun of him.
Get him with a hard R and get
bully
out there,
him.
Right?
Yeah, exactly.
You're in the wrong class. It's for people who can read.
Go back home, idiot.
But I've also never understood people who say, I learned English from watching American television. I'm like, you can hear all the words, but I can't imagine. I mean, people who have very good English, they're like, oh, I watched American television.
Well,
that's how I learned.
When you immerse yourself in it, if that's all that they do when they're at home, it's kind of like, I had a girlfriend.
You mimic it, too.
Yeah.
Raj does this.
Oh,
my friend Raj. I mean, he's from India, and he speaks English like an American. And he's only been here for like 10 years.
Yeah. I had a girlfriend who went to school. She was in culinary school, and then she did I don't know if it's an internship or whatever. It was like she went out and like forged food, and then they had to cook with it and see what they could do down in Colombia. and she had never spoken a lick of Spanish in her life. So she went down there, and she's like, you learn really quick when you don't have any other choice. She's like, I physically can't interact with people, so I just listen, hope that I pick up on context clues and kind of see what they're doing, and then she's fluent in it now.
Yeah, it's just that people, when it's their native tongue, they speak so quickly. They don't speak to you like first-year Spanish.
Right.
You know, ¿dónde es la biblioteca?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Nobody speaks like that. So it's the slowing down of it that I would think would be so difficult to discern what all the words are.
Mm-hmm.
If I didn't speak English and I was watching American television, they're speaking at a normal clip. I'd be like, what's the noun? What's the adverb?
Well, but you're not thinking of it like that.
You have to if you're going to conjugate properly and speak the language.
But you're not, though. You're not. I don't think anybody's going into it thinking this is what that noun is. This is the sentence structure. You're kind of just listening to it, trying to figure out kind of what's going
on. Yeah, you're kind
of
parroting.
And then just blurting it back.
Well, but that's how you get people that speak broken English.
Right.
I'm talking about, you need to know structure if you speak the language really well.
Yeah.
Like, I speak French pretty well.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we're over there, I could get us around. I wasn't worried about that. But they absolutely knew that I was American.
Right.
I mean, granted, I was wearing my American flag hot pants.
Everywhere.
Everywhere. And my Toby Keith cutoff tee.
Obviously.
Mm-hmm. Everywhere I went.
Also, so American flag on it with a snake. I get it.
My Don't Tread on Me headband might have signaled to them that I was not a local.
I took Spanish from 8th grade through college. I was in Spanish, and I was pretty fluent in it. But even to that point, I could sit and listen to two native speakers speak Spanish and understand everything they were saying. I just couldn't speak it as well.
Yeah.
So it could be that, too, where someone's sitting and watching
American... I get that understanding it.
Yeah, they're sitting and watching American television, and they understand every single thing that's going on. But maybe it just doesn't.
But then putting it all together and having it come out and sound like that is difficult. Yeah. And that's part of immersing yourself in the language, and then you do a lot of the repeating just to practice, kind of.
Yeah.
When I was in the Philippines, I would just pay attention to what everybody would say, I'd write it down how they did it, and then I would repeat things back the way I'd heard someone else say it. And then you kind of learn through repetition that way.
Contrary to how I speak English when I was doing American Sign Language, I go really slow and I'm really proper, to the point where it's like almost uncommon for like a deaf person to like read how my hands are going.
So your grammar in ASL is impeccable. Maybe I should just start having you do sign language on the show.
Well, not so much anymore, because if you don't use it, you lose it. So I know some like key words or some phrases and stuff like that. But other than that, I was a lot better at signing than I was understanding it, because like sign people or deaf people go super fast. Like, they are fast, and it takes a second to register, so it's hard for me to read.
That's different too with a delay.
Like, they'll do it.
Sight delay? Mm-hmm. I guess you see things as quickly as you hear them.
It's kind of cool, though, because, you never have to worry about being too loud or too, not whispering or whatever. Like, you could be in another room, and as long as there's glass, you can know what that person is saying. But it still takes me, maybe 3 seconds to register. I'm like, oh, you said get you a glass of water or something like that.
Imagine someone trying to learn English by listening to Pound Cake.
It would be impossible.
It's going 400 miles an hour.
And it's not even correct most of the time.
All right. Now you gotta beat me when I'm down.
When I'm down.
You're gonna teach him how to go golfing?
All right.
All right.
Donde es la top golf?
If you're on fire, stop, drop, and roll. And try not to roll into another fire. Helpful advice from the Alan Cox Show.
On 100.7
WMMS.
Childhood development people are telling me those are called whisper phones.
Whisper phones. Maybe that is what it is. Macaroni noodle.
Not elbow macaroni phones.
Macaroni pipe, I think is what I said.
Macaroni pipe.
Whisper phone does sound familiar now. That
sounds more official.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Give them macaroni pipe.
Or a self phone. Whisper phone.
Whisper phone, I think, is that sounds. That sounds right.
Okay. That sound right to you?
That sounds right to you.
Yeah. Yes, all those teachers. That sounds right to me. Yeah.
You sure it wasn't a macaroni pipe? Noodle pipe?
Noodle pipe.
It sounds
like
something.
You were the old noodle pipe behind the Cheesecake Factory.
Some gross dude on Tinder who gave me my noodle pipe.
Mm-hmm. And a lot of people pointing out to me that, of course, children don't learn language by structure. They parrot adults, and they learn words that way. And, mm-hmm. you know, it is amazing that children understand what structure is mm-hmm. when you don't sit there and diagram sentences with them. And, you know.
Well, because you learn how to talk, and then they teach you what that is.
Yeah, why you're talking the way you do.
In, like, what, second grade, third grade? When do you learn nouns?
Hopefully before the second grade, you're learning what nouns are.
I think it's probably around first grade.
When you say person, place, or thing. I don't think that, they don't teach you that in like kindergarten. They're not teaching you sentence structure.
Well, no, but I don't mean sentence structure. I mean knowing what a noun is.
Parts of speech? What are those called?
Yeah, articles of speech.
Articles of speech.
Yeah.
Book it on phonics.
Work it for me. All right, I will have another $1,000 to give to you in about 3 minutes, closer to 4:30 is your next shot to go fund yourself. This is the last week to do it, but through Friday night, you'll have about 16 chances every weekday, so good luck with that. It's called aphantasia. I assume they're talking about the no inner monologue thing.
Okay. Oh.
Well, my friend said she'd call in.
Fantasia?
Aphantasia, yeah. From American Idol.
What are you watching? Oh, Fantasia.
Fantasia.
Maybe that's where you got the notion that brooms should stand up all by themselves.
Yes. Aphantasia is what I was watching last night while I was doing laundry.
Right. Oprah Winfrey, by the way, has gotten in on the whole Snoop Dogg v. Gayle King situation. You know, Gayle King taking a lot of heat over there. Because CBS cut up a promo where she was talking to Lisa Leslie, is that her name?
Mm-hmm.
From the WNBA?
Mm-hmm.
About Kobe Bryant. And then I played you that clip the other day of Snoop saying people were coming for Gayle King and blah. How dare you
go against the
come
fans.
Down on my boy.
Bitch. Yeah. What was it? Dog-headed bitch?
Yeah. One of those Joe Biden insults. Now, of course, Snoop's walking it back, saying that he wasn't threatening Gayle King. Listen, whatever you think of Snoop Dogg, when it comes to women, he's always been the same guy. It's still...
Respectful? Empowering?
Still the hoes and bitches guy.
No.
It still is.
At least he sprays Dom Perignon on them.
Yeah, whatever. You know?
He's not out there with cooks. I mean, he's got a little bit of respect for them.
Clearly, when it comes to black women, he doesn't like them. Mm-hmm. He's fine with Martha Stewart. Not calling her a hoe and a bitch. But boy, you throw a black woman out there, they're everybody's punching bag, including Snoop Dogg. Oprah was on the Today Show, I guess, perhaps as a proxy for Gayle King, competing network and all. And she was getting a little upset, because Gayle's her girl. And you figure Oprah's rich enough where she doesn't have to distance herself from anyone. She can do whatever she wants. Anyone else in a less financially advantageous position, you'd have to... distance yourself from Gayle King if the thing were really to get out of hand.
And I just wondered just how she's doing.
She is not doing well. May I say she is not doing well because she has now death threats and has to now travel with security and...
People go right to death threats.
People get angry.
People
kind of overreact.
People used to write letters.
Yeah.
Well, you don't have to do that now.
Yeah, it's instant rage. People can just... immediately word vomit onto the internet and
especially
say things
like
that they shouldn't say.
Email and Twitter and stuff are on her phone. She gets notified.
No. I'm familiar with the current modes of conversation.
Are you sure?
I'm simply saying that because it's easier to tell someone what you think, I'm not sure why that would make you angrier. Like, why would...
Because you don't have to sit down and think about it. If you had to sit down and hand write someone a letter...
I'm so mad at Gayle King right now. Where is my pen? I need some proper lighting in
you
here.
You still have to write a tweet.
A tweet is 140 characters.
That's fine,
but it's right here.
But you can't do it in 1 second.
But what I'm saying is to sit down and hand write a letter to somebody, sometimes just the 15, 20 minutes it takes you to do that, you're going to cool down. Whereas if you hear something, you react in 30 seconds, I hope you and your family all die, you dumb bitch, send. Instead of sitting down, writing it, reading it, sending it out, them getting it 2 weeks later, like...
I'm by it.
I buy it. That's what I think.
And I guarantee there was a lot of hate mail and death threats back when people were sending letters.
I have a binder full of them.
Yeah, so you know.
Yes, I do know. That's what I'm saying.
But not nearly as much as how many people text into you and tell you all day long how much you suck.
Right, but it still takes time to send a text.
It takes about
30
seconds.
Talk to text. But, I mean, you're still hand-typing a tweet.
But it's still a lot more immediate than writing a letter.
I think it's the immediacy. Yeah.
Right.
I don't think it's that it takes you longer to write it. It's the immediacy.
That's what immediacy is.
No.
The length of time.
No. The length of time to transmit the message. I'm talking about the writing of it, right? If it took you as long to write a tweet as it did to write a letter, trust me, if you've seen the way some of these grown people, what their handwriting is, they're not taking a long time.
Let's not besmirch people who have bad handwriting.
I'm just saying they're not taking a long time to carefully craft a letter.
It would take me a very long time to write a letter these days.
They're not carefully crafting a letter is what I'm saying.
Terrible.
But to Bill's point, you don't have to wait 2 weeks for that letter to get to that person.
Right.
They're not
going
to, and by and large, they might not even see it. Whereas now, you can't help but see it.
Right.
You open up your feed and it's all there.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's more about immediacy aside. It feels like it's more the cumulative people being pissed off all the time that makes them go 0 to 60.
Yeah.
There were always crazy people that would write you a letter and send it.
Yeah. But now it's just so easy to do it.
You have a binder of hate mail.
Oh my God.
Oh, yeah.
I'm so mad. I'm just going to tell people how I think.
Yeah.
Because have you listened to it?
Well, no.
I've kept it from over the course of my career.
Two things. I think that's funny. What you're saying, Bill, is that with the immediacy of a tweet or whatever, an Instagram post, is that you can immediately get 500,000 weirdos who think the exact same thing you do who are just as mad.
You're not getting the
acceptance and the people supporting
the
validation from handwriting something. That's how you feel.
I had typed hate mail.
You get what I'm saying, though.
Yeah.
So that's what it is about why people are, I think you should die, and then that gets 500 likes and 300 retweets in the first 10 minutes. They're like, oh, well, I'm not wrong then. Whereas if you have to personally address something to one other person, you're not getting that same validation from it.
Well, but also 500 other psychotics telling you you're right.
It makes them feel better. Like, oh, I'm right, too.
Yeah, I have people on my side. That's why there's Flat Earth conventions and all these things where people, they're looking for a tribe and they're finding them on the internet.
Right.
Yeah.
Why do you keep that binder?
I have a binder full of every rejection letter I've ever gotten from a radio station before I had representation, and I have, and in that are all is every piece of hate mail I've ever gotten. Because it's a good reminder.
What about all the love mail?
It's a good
Do you have any?
I was gonna say, do you keep like?
Do you have a pamphlet
accolades?
No.
So you don't keep, hey, Alan Cox Show, best radio program, whatever. Uh-uh. You don't keep that, but you keep.
Oh, I mean, there might be a couple of old pieces in there. I mean, if I printed out a bunch on one thing, but no, I mean, the hate mail is what keeps you.
That's what keeps
sharp.
You going.
Well, it's what keeps you sharp.
Okay.
Accolades are great. I want people to enjoy what I do, but that's not gonna
motivate you.
Well, it doesn't help you at all. You know what I mean? Those are people who already agree with you. Those are people who are already,
Do you go back and read them?
Not weekly, no. But I know where they are, and I know they're there, and if I flip through them, I'm like, oh, that's kind of
how
funny.
Does it make you feel?
It doesn't.
So why do you keep them?
Why not?
Because you get a feeling from it.
Well, because it's a... everything you keep is not because you have a feeling from it. I mean, I keep it because it is a historical record of part of my career. Pre-Twitter and social media, it takes... whether people love you or hate you, it takes time to put pen to paper or load a piece of paper into a typewriter and fire off, to the point of this whole conversation.
Right.
That takes time and effort. And people heard something. Back then, they had to, look up the radio station address.
So more or less, you appreciated the effort that they put into it.
Sure.
They were that committed to their hatred for you.
Whatever.
Yeah.
It wasn't even that. To take it personally is the big... is the wrong way to do it.
To take a
how do you not take it personally when
letter?
They're
because as
and I'm just asking this for people because I know people go, oh, I don't know why people get all bent out of shape. I sent you this and you're mad, and then you see someone in real life get upset over something, like they get a little bit of fame going, or like some I've seen this where someone will get upset over something that was posted on Facebook. And I'm like, that's one person telling you they don't like you, and your day is ruined. This happens to entertainers all the time.
Mm-hmm.
and you are one of the people that contribute to that. Like, well, that's part of their job. I'm like, yeah, but you're still contributing to it.
The excuse that people have always given themselves to be dicks is by saying, well, that's part of your job.
Mm-hmm.
You know, well, how are you going to do? You can't handle criticism. We can all handle criticism. It's not part of someone's job to get hate mail.
Right.
Or to get the flip side of that coin. But I don't. I think it's a mistake to take it personally.
It says your name on it.
Right. That just means that they went to the website and found out who was on when they heard what they didn't like. So then
but
they...
Well, what if it's something that is addressed at you, who you are, if it is a very personal...
They're all addressed
to me. If it's a very personal hatred towards you.
Well, so what? I mean, if they're not camped out on my front lawn... Right, which they never are.
Mm-hmm.
Even you know, if you saw somebody in public, they wouldn't walk up to you and say the things that they'll say to you in a letter. Obviously,
right,
right.
If somebody sent me a letter and I thought that they were really, you know, if I got bombarded by letters from one person, that's somebody who's got a lot of time on their hands.
Well, I got bombarded by somebody.
They have a lot of focus, but yeah. But the letters that I kept over the years, you know, to me. I think it's a mistake to take those kinds of things personally. They're pointing them at you, and you have said something that they don't like, but so what? When you talk about somebody who one person ruins their day, that is a softness of the mind on that person's part.
Well, because they're also not used to it. They're not used to someone.
Well, perhaps they shouldn't be a performer then.
Well, no, this is not a performer. This is like a regular person that has a post that gets like a little bit of heat on it, and then... People are attacked because everybody else is like, hey, I like this, I like this. And there's that one person that doesn't like it. And that's all they obsess over.
Well,
is that one person.
Because that's
never
one person.
Experienced it.
That's fine. But before. I mean, after you have experience, I would think that even in that situation, you'd go, okay, one person out of 500 is not going to ruin my day.
But it does to some people.
Well, that's on them.
Yeah, comedians. Mm-hmm.
That's on them. That's not on the person. You know, because the person might figure that they don't know that they're one out of 500. Only you know that, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Only you can see the sum total of the pluses and the minuses. You know, I get texts all the time from people who will bitch at me about something and go, oh, I know all your listeners think X, Y, and Z.
Right.
I'm like, you don't know dick about my audience.
Right.
I know about my audience because I see the sum total. Mm-hmm. You don't know anything. You know what I tell you. Like, don't, you know, you don't know how any of this works. You know, people love to pretend like they know. They got some inside information. You don't. You don't know anything.
I remember when
I'm not going to take it personally. I mean, like, if you don't like what I do, that's a perfectly valid opinion. That's fine. I like specifics.
Right.
Why am I going to let someone ruin my day if it's some blanket statement over something?
Yeah.
That's somebody literally trying to get a reaction. And sometimes, yeah, I'll go back and forth with somebody, but usually not.
I remember when
it's silly to take it personally.
When I first got hired, someone was trying to explain to me, anonymously, they're like, I used to work in the business and I know the show's not doing good, blah, 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 and you're part of the reason it's not doing good. And then we got ratings and they were really good.
It's the number one show.
Yeah, and I was like, well, okay, so people, this is just something that people will do.
Well, but also you lost me at I used to be.
Yeah.
There's a lot of
right.
used to be
yeah.
out there. I used to be. And I'm like, okay,
you're
I used
anymore.
To be a waiter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm not anymore.
But you could be again. I believe in you.
There he
when
is.
It all goes south for me in showbiz.
AC Crumb Catcher.
That's right.
Making come his triumphant back. Return.
I'm going to be right there with my bow tie on, taking your order. And how would you like that cook, sir?
Warm, cool center? Okay.
Didn't you used to
warm,
be?
Cool
yeah,
center.
I used
warm,
to
cool
be.
Warm, cool center.
Warm, cool
you're
fired.
This is why I'm not a bartender anymore. How do you want your burger? Warm, cool center?
Warm, cool center.
They're like, is that medium? I guess. I don't know.
Warm, cool center. That's how I'd like my Manhattan, please. Listen, everybody reacts differently, but over the years, I thought it would be, I started because I thought it would be funny, right? To keep
the
radio stations that rejected me, two of whom would later go on to say, we change our mind. And then, yeah, the people who don't like you.
You just send them the rejection letter back. You know what? I have, to a certain degree, I have that a little bit because I have this grandiose idea in my mind, right? I get rejected from a lot of comedy festivals. And I have a very strong feeling in my heart that in a few years, these same comedy festivals are going to ask me to come.
And they probably will.
And I'm going to send them back the email that they sent me and be like, hey, sorry, I got asked by a lot of festivals this year. And you know what? You guys just didn't make the cut. This doesn't mean that you're not a good festival. You should just resubmit next year at a higher rate.
That's taking it personally.
I absolutely take it personally.
That's silly.
I keep them in a binder in my email for revenge.
That's somebody saying, look at this positive energy I'm getting. I'm going to turn it, I must turn this into negative energy and send it back.
Because they are so mean to me for so long.
So what?
You're right. I'm going to do it.
You know what I mean? Like, any one of us are one of hundreds of people in our profession.
Yeah.
If I were to focus on like how much credit I don't get in this company, I'd drive myself crazy.
Yeah.
But I don't, because whatever. I got a show to do. I got to talk to Bill's ex-girlfriend when we come back. The one who was screaming at him on the phone. What are we talking to her about? Oh, she's the one with the brain thing?
Yeah.
Okay.
She speaks in the microphone. Or the microphone. Macaroni noodle.
The macaroni pipe. +35192 to send me a text. Our Cavs are off tonight. Still licking their wounds from that Clippers game on Sunday. Tomorrow night they'll be back at the Romo Fijo in the friendly confines. 7 o'clock is going to be their first tip against the Atlanta Hawks here on MMS. So 6:30, right after we roll out of here. Tomorrow
is
when the pregame will begin. 6:30.
Deli Cat Essen. You got it. Yeah,
that's
slow
right.
down a little bit.
Oklahoma City. I know. Pound cake's rubbing off on me.
Ew.
Once it's turned on, the sign will spell out Deli Cat Essen.
Deli Cat Essen.
Deli Cat Essen.
That's right. Hey, Carly.
Hello.
Hey, what's up? Are you ready to lie on the rack here for a second?
Sure.
All right. Carly is one of Bill's exes. She was at once his current girlfriend. And she's one of my favorite clips of all time is her screaming at him in a voicemail on the phone.
You f***ing know better!
Love, love, love that clip.
She loves when you play it, too.
I know. I spoke to her. I think we had a conversation on the Corona cruise where she kind of was like, hey, thanks a lot for the whole thing. But I love the clip. So you're the person that Bill was referring to when he said he had a friend who has no inner monologue. Is that correct?
Yeah, I guess I didn't know that he didn't tell you who.
Well, now they know.
Well, yeah, he told me now. But So explain that to me then, because we're all thinking, obviously, when you're thinking your thoughts, you're hearing yourself or you're thinking your thoughts or it's some kind of, you know. So how does that manifest itself? You don't hear your voice when you think? What does it mean?
No, I don't. So I've had so many questions over the last week. I don't know what it's like for other people who hear words. So like a lot of people have been asking me like what happens when you read. I don't hear myself reading. To me, I mainly just know what it says, or I see things visually.
It's like instantly processed.
Wait, but you don't have to read aloud to process it.
No, but I definitely. So I had a friend telling me that if they have a to-do list for the day, they kind of are voicing it as they're going through it. I usually have to write it down.
Okay,
it's not.
So is it like the opposite of a photographic memory?
I think somewhat it's more photographic. I think probably there's kind of like a spectrum for this whole thing.
What is it called?
No inner monologue.
I didn't know if it had like a cool sounding name, an official name.
I thought you said you had a name for it.
Well,
somebody texted,
but I don't know if they're right or not.
Well, if we hear that, we can look it up.
Yeah,
so
I don't know. I don't hear like conversations in my head or like someone else asked me if I can kind of picture how a conversation's going to go. And
yeah.
I don't think I really do that. It makes a lot of sense actually, because I know if I have to have any kind of serious conversation with someone, I plan it out by writing it down, or I'll make a note in my phone. Like, if I need to tell you three things, it's not going to I'm not going to remember it.
So it's just hard. Whoever texted me called it aphantasia.
Oh, that's right.
So then you just have a hard time ordering your thoughts unless you really commit them to something you can read.
Yeah, and I can read. I just am not hearing anyone reading it to me.
I got you.
I have a question. If you if you read something that, say, I don't know, Ellen DeGeneres said, you don't hear it in Ellen DeGeneres' voice when you're reading it? Okay.
You just see the words and they're in your brain, but there's not really any...
There's no sound.
No
noise.
Yeah, it's not like someone said it to you. Yeah.
Oh, if I have to sound a word out, I have to say it.
Let me ask you this, and then I won't keep you. I appreciate your time. When you screamed at Bill on his voicemail, did you have to write it down first?
See, that's actually a great example of why exactly I can't, like, articulate things well if I'm...
In the moment, speaking from the heart.
Right, yeah. Yeah, but if you're in the moment, speaking from the heart, you don't want to be too thought out. Can you sing a song in your head? Can you sing a song in your head?
Yeah, do songs get stuck in your head? Oh, yes, you don't have to read those.
I know for sure, and Bill can probably agree with me here, that if I, like, especially if I'm upset or something, I feel like I'm pretty well-spoken, but I feel like, if I'm upset, things do not come out in the right order. It doesn't make sense. It just kind of, like, is said as it pops into my head. I think we can all agree with me on that. But
well, let me ask you this, though. Is it frustrating? Does it make you prone to popping off or no?
No, I think more so it makes me non-confrontational. I'll hold it in until I get, but that's legitimately probably the only time I've ever done something like that.
But you have like, life. But you, do you have like regular dreams? Does that remain the same or no?
I don't dream often. I did, now that I'm consciously aware of this, I did have a dream the other day and I somewhat remembered it, but I don't think I ever hear people talking in my dreams. I think I just know what's happening.
Pretty wild.
That's strange.
That's really very wild.
That's why I'm so fascinated by it, because you made a post a couple, like a week or so ago, and I saw that, and I had read something about that at one point, and then I kind of forgot about it, and then when you made that post, I'm like, everything that we've been through makes so much more sense now.
A lot of things do. Yeah, and I mean, it's equally as interesting for me, because it feels like when someone's explaining to me about having one, it feels intrusive. I'm thinking, I can't imagine having talking in my head all the time like that. But yeah, it does make a lot of sense as how I do a lot of things.
Yeah, how you actually deal with things and how you process things, it definitely... It's probably very, it's probably a relief to know that you are different than other people in this way, and that you have something that's kind of unique, where I don't think I've met that many people that have this.
I've never. Or at least that didn't know it, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Let me ask you this. When you were younger and in school, did you ever use a macaroni pipe?
Did you have to do that where you would have to read out loud and they'd give you like a PVC to like, so you could whisper to yourself?
The whisper phone?
No.
Yeah, I never heard of that.
Maybe it was just my school.
No.
Yeah.
I will say definitely it makes sense as to why math is hard for me, I think. Like as far as doing math in my head, that's always been tough.
Well, plus with math, there's simply no way to know how any of that works out.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, who knows math? Yeah. No one that's knows not even math. On you. No, come on. Mm-hmm. No one knows math.
I was always a good reader, though.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Maybe they gave those, what did you call it, macaroni?
The macaroni pipe.
It was actually called a whisper phone. I couldn't remember that name. And I was like, it's shaped like a macaroni noodle, and it's a PVC pipe, so it's a macaroni pipe.
Yeah. All right, well, thank you, Carly. You've been a good sport.
I try.
All right, good. Thank you.
Okay.
All right, bye. All right, there's Bill's ex.
You're f***ing no better!
That girl, Carly. And she's got the thing where she doesn't hear an inner monologue.
Inner monologue, yeah.
Very
fascinating. Thank you, Jesus.
Yeah. I wonder if it's similar to that nonsense.
That's different.
That's speaking in tongues.
Yeah,
that's
Mary.
You're not in charge there.
That's what Mary believes. Right.
You're not in charge there.
That's the outer.
The Holy Spirit does that for you.
That's the outer monologue that Mary puts crazy.
But it's not yours. But it's the Holy Spirit's monologue.
Why does the Holy Spirit make it so you can't understand it?
It's a different language.
But why?
I'm just saying, why is Spanish different than English?
But no. It's not a language.
It is a language.
No, they're all making it sound.
That's fine.
Yeah.
The same.
They don't have to sound the same. Lots of languages all sound different.
So every time the Holy Spirit speaks through you, it's a different language?
No, it's that language, speaking in tongues. It's all the same, but it's not English, so people think it's fake.
But a language, I think, is defined...
I know there's languages besides English.
I think
seems like you're having trouble understanding differences in languages.
None of them worth knowing, Bill.
Obviously. Mega.
I think that a language, though, is defined as a commonly agreed upon set of...
There's an entire religion that agrees on that.
No, but there's no... If you were to say, please translate that to English for me... They wouldn't be able to because it's all made up. Well, that's why when people speak...
All languages are made up. A lot of people can't translate
But we've agreed...
can't translate ancient scrolls and things that they find.
Those are dead languages, though.
So?
When they were alive, they were able to be translated. If you're talking about Aramaic or Sumerian or something, right? Speaking in tongues is gibberish by its very design.
Sure.
But people parrot each other. That's why they all sound similar. That whole ga-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na. But they're like repeating the same guttural noises and diphthongs and stuff. That's not not a commonly agreed upon language. It's nothing
commonly
that's,
enough. All the people who are Pentecostals commonly agree that that's a language.
It's passed around from one dim-witted group to another
saying this
is some ancient language that never existed.
Okay.
There have been no ancient scrolls that have been unearthed that say, no.
You don't know that.
Yeah.
Prove it.
Yeah. Prove it? Right. They would have, if that were the case, then all these people would have.
So you're saying that every language that ever was has to have been written down? There's no.
No. Most languages were oral.
So there you go.
It's got to be decipherable, though.
It has to mean something. And it does mean something. Just because you don't understand it doesn't mean it doesn't mean anything.
Well, then to whom does it mean something?
The people who believe it. Every Pentecostal who has ever come in contact with
them.
So when someone was doing the speaking in tongues, you understood what they were saying.
It's not for me to understand. It's not. You want explanations? I'm giving them to you.
Okay, let me ask you this. Why would you be given a divine message?
You are not given the message.
You said the Holy Spirit speaks through you.
Yes,
so you're
but it's
given...
not to me. They're not speaking to me. They're speaking through me.
So why
to
would
who?
You? Why
to
would
Jesus.
You? Why would you be the conduit for a message that has no meaning?
It doesn't have a meaning to me. It has a meaning through,
to whom?
Through me.
The meaning to whom?
Jesus.
So they're speaking...
But the Holy Spirit is...
Nope, different. Holy Spirit and Jesus are not the same person.
No, I know the Holy Spirit and Jesus aren't the same person, but why would the Holy Spirit need to use a human vessel to communicate
because
with
Jesus?
Because
there's parts of you and your...
Repeat after me, because it's all made up.
You can say whatever you want. You can berate me, and I can give
I'm
you explanations.
I'm not berating you. I'm saying I don't think you believe this stuff.
I've done that.
I think you did.
I'm saying I don't know what I believe anymore, and I've been open with that.
I think you know that you don't...
I think you're afraid to admit when you don't believe.
It's not about not believing. I don't know what I believe anymore. I've said that 100 times.
I think you know what you believe. And I don't think you believe that.
What
anymore.
I do believe is that it has. I have done that. It has happened. I was not in charge of that. That was not something
I think you have.
Up.
I think you have people close to you, perhaps in your family or friends, who still believe those things, and you don't want to make them feel bad.
I don't care what they believe. What I'm telling you is that I believe that that is a real thing that has happened. That has happened to me, and when it did, I was not in charge. I was not moving my mouth. I was not the one making those sounds come out of my face. You guys can believe me if you want to when I say that, but I do believe that that is real because I experienced it.
And it sounded like this.
Not exactly like that, but yeah. Do I now believe those same teachings and the whole message or whatever behind it? I don't know. Did that happen to me? Yes.
So as I understand it, as you've explained it, you are a conduit for a made-up message directed to a made-up person.
Well, they're not made-up, but sure, however you want to say it.
The messages are.
Any message is made up. You make it up in your brain, you say it out loud.
Right, but a message has a beginning, a middle, and an end. Right,
right? Just because I don't understand it doesn't mean it's not real.
Then I'm not saying that. How do you know, if you don't know anything about it, it's completely beyond your control. Mm-hmm. You are merely an empty vessel through which this message flows, right?
Correct.
You have no control over it.
You have no control over it.
Right.
So then how do you know from whence it comes and to whom it's intended?
Because that's what we were taught.
Were you trying to stop it?
No.
And do you think there is a possibility that the power of suggestion in the environment that you were in influenced you into doing that?
I did not do it.
You said, you just said what I wanted to hear from you.
Which is?
You were, that's what we were taught.
Right.
By other people.
Right.
Not by the Holy Spirit. Other people told you this is what it is.
You read the book, this is what it says, and then the preacher tells you. Because remember, it wasn't a written language, it's a spoken language. But you read it, the pastor tells you, hey, here's the scripture to back this up, this is what happens.
To back what up?
That's something that happens. Speaking in tongues, being used as a vessel for the Holy Spirit to communicate through you to Jesus or God. And I know that you guys using the term, just using these terms automatically discredits everything I'm saying. Like I said, I don't know where I stand with religion. No. I don't know what I believe. What I do know is that I have done that and it was not, I didn't control it.
I'm not dismissing it. I want to know. I want
to
know.
Yeah, I'm genuinely curious about
the best of my ability.
Right, and I'm genuinely curious about.
And I'm also like 15 years removed from the church, right. So it's not as fresh in my mind. Yes. I can't quote you a scripture that you would, not that you would care anyways, you don't believe in the Bible or whatever, but.
Like, I remember saying I was having spiritual moments when I was still Mormon, and.
But you didn't believe in those spiritual moments.
No, I tried to.
But you didn't believe. Truly in your heart, you were like, this is BS, I don't believe in any of this, it's all crummy anyway.
It felt good at certain times, and I felt, and there was, listen, there was a time when I did believe it. I didn't always doubt it, but I know what I was feeling. I was feeling just the acceptance of being around the people and stuff like that.
It was not like that for me.
It's not,
I want to do this because other people are
doing it. No, I'm not doing it, and again, I'm not saying that either. I'm saying, like, I thought I was having a spiritual moment, but looking back on it, I go, oh, no, that's not what was happening. It's confirmation bias.
And surely you had to have had questions, like, what is the point of a message that has no interpretation?
No.
Growing
up Catholic, I feel like there, or any type of religion, you're really taught not to question anything.
You're taught that, but you because you're a human being that has a brain, you constantly ask questions all the time. Now, much like every other religion, growing up hardcore Catholic, they never had answers for it. Well, it's a mystery. Mm-hmm. Oh, great, thanks.
Or trust
awesome.
It, and it's you're being used for what your bigger purpose is or what they need to use you for, and it's not of your concern.
Which is what perpetuates. Hey, if I'm being used, man, it is my concern, right?
Sure.
So,
or
yeah,
you just trust in the fact that this is
a lot of questions.
This is a part of your higher. This is a part of God using you the way that you're meant to be used, and it's you don't need to understand.
Nobody minded God using them in that way.
No, you don't need to understand it. Be a faithful little sheep. Do what you're supposed to do.
All right. Listen,
I wish I had more. And this is when I've wanted one of like my brothers to call in and be able to tell you more, because like I said, I'm very far removed from this now. What I can tell you is that it was a very real experience that I was not in control of. You guys can believe that if you want to or not.
But they're not going to have answers for me. They're going to quote me scripture.
But they'll have more of an answer than I will.
I know all that. Yeah, but it still won't be an answer.
Right, it'll be a lot better than me saying I don't really know.
Right, but the you not having control over it, there's an explanation for it that I need that is not coming through. Because I don't think it's the Holy Spirit speaking through you. There's something else going on there.
What? You think I'm having a seizure and my brain
is
shutting
down? No, I think it's confirmation bias.
I don't know what that means. I'm not even going to lie to you.
Okay, well, I'll...
What is confirmation bias?
That your opinions are formed based on what you already believe. That you kind of work backwards, like, mm-hmm. or what people around you, what you're brought up to believe. Or,
I'm not in control of this because that's what you were taught, and you're like, okay, so I'm going to believe that I'm not in control of this when you absolutely were, but it's because of your surroundings that you participated in it.
You interpret what it is based on what you already believe. Like when people go,
yeah,
well,
when you're 13, why would I question anything?
I'm just saying, I grew up hardcore Catholic, and we question stuff all the time.
And we weren't given
any information either.
But I'm saying when you're having that experience and you are that sold in, that's because you're buying into it.
Well, so when I can't say that it didn't happen because it did.
Right, but you can look back on it and say how much control did I actually have control in that moment?
Did you have control? Were you at least afforded control over your bodily functions?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, you know what? Some people have passed out or fallen over or things like that.
Anybody pooped their pants?
I bet it hasn't. It has to have happened.
Peed their pants?
You got to be pretty full of spirit. I haven't.
I've never seen it or witnessed that. I'm not going to count it out. But.
Well, as long as a young Mary Santor never soiled herself.
I never soiled myself.
I do feel a little bit better about that.
You should.
Okay.
That was not the message. That was being delivered through my body.
The message was not written in
evacuate.
Urine.
Evacuate!
Evacuate! No, I meant get out of the tent.
If he sounds super excited to see you...
Hey, what's up?
Remember, he is a paid performer.
As a broadcaster, he's real good.
Alan Cox on 100.7 WMMS.
Summer is just getting better and better and better for live shows.
Backstreet Boys!
Oh my god.
Ow, ow.
There's the Lamb of God Megadeth tour in July. There's Rage Against the Machine. There's the Rolling Stones. Now there's a rumor that Deftones are going to go out with Gojira and Poppy.
Yeah. Wow.
They've got an August date in Toronto, a little one-off.
Poppies but then will put them to sleep.
Poppy.
Sleep.
Very controversial right now. She's doing a little pop thing there, but clearly trying to kind of bridge that Billie Eilish Norwegian death metal gap. Anyway, they've announced nothing as far as a tour goes, but people are kind of inferring from that one-off show that they may be prepping for a proper tour. Love Deftones. Love Gojira. Saw a guy go up in flames. At Sonic Temple last summer.
That was scary. That was really
scary. Someone caught on fire?
He got caught in some of the guitars, got caught in some pyro. Mm-hmm. We were up above watching. And one of the pyro, some of the pyro went off. So that's the rumor. So that'll be fantastic if that happens. That's a show worth traveling for. What else? You mentioned Backstreet Boys.
Mm-hmm.
I know I got another $1,000 here for you, too, in about 5 minutes. About 5:30, you can go fund yourself again. Do you want me to ruin Backstreet Boys for you?
I do not.
Are you sure?
Positive.
I would like you to do that for me. My birthday's on Sunday. This is your present.
Well, listen, because Joe Biden's out there. And, he's throwing insults at people from the 1930s. But anybody who's running for president is trying to be down with the kids. And I don't know if these were paid volunteers. I don't know. But a group of what looked to be college kids were at a Biden event. And, I'll just play this for you because it's very exciting. Let me find it here. Oh, yeah, there it is.
Joe Biden, Joe Biden, Joe Biden, Biden's back, all right.
He lost my vote immediately.
Like he had your vote.
He would have had my vote.
Anyway.
If he's the nominee, I would have given him my vote, but I'm voting for President Pete.
Those kids ruined it?
Yes.
Well, then he never really had you.
Yep. Okay, well, then President
Why are you going to hold it against him when these kids very clearly, spontaneously broke out in song, all right?
Biden's for Buttigieg.
Biden's back, all right. By the way, I mentioned that this was going to happen, and it has, in fact, happened. All the Gen Z kids who have no idea who Rage Against the Machine are and are very upset, these are British kids. There are a couple of festivals over the UK. The Reading and Leeds festivals are a big deal. They've both been going on for decades. everyone from Iron Maiden to Motorhead to My Chemical Romance, I think, is one of the headliners this coming year.
Nice.
And Rage Against the Machine is on this, and all of the young kids in the UK are very upset. All of their complaints are kind of pound cake-ish.
Excuse me?
When they announced that Rage Against the Machine was going to be doing the Reading and Leeds Fest.
They said who?
A lot of kids said, well, some said who, some said, could we put all the goth bands on a separate stage, please? But you'd want to say that in a British accent. Very disappointed Gen Z kids.
Poundcake's got a good British accent. Why don't you try it?
Yeah, yeah. You're one of these upset kids at Rage Against the Machine headlining the Reading and Leeds Festival.
Oh, come on! I totally wanted to see Rage Against the Machine on the golf stage. Oh, I don't know what that was.
Well, was that British?
That was Irish. That was Italian. That was a bunch of gobbledygook.
Was that Jamaican?
On the golf stage. Man,
say it again. Try it. British. Have you heard, seen Harry Potter?
When Poundcake sings the national anthem, people of every country stand.
Yeah.
Another girl said, I'm going to sell my ticket if anyone wants it, because Rage Against the Machine are your second stage headliners. So the young kids, and you can't blame them, you know, if you're a kid who's 14 or 15, I mean, the band itself hasn't even toured in over a decade in that lineup. They did a reunion thing some years ago, but they haven't toured in a long time. You can't blame the kids for not knowing or caring.
Yeah.
But it's like, it reminds me of when Poundcake says Panic at the Disco is his favorite punk band.
They are.
I know they are.
Honey. They revolutionized punk.
I know. I
know. Honey.
Who was it that you said invented punk?
The lady who... I said invented punk.
Like the first punk band.
The first punk band was who?
Oh, Evanescence.
Evanescence was the first punk band.
Lithium. Woke something up inside of him.
When I was getting a haircut last week, you know, the music that's just on in the salon. Mm-hmm. Charles Scott Salon and Spa.
Hey, I'm getting a massage with them.
Hey!
With my gift card that I won at the Polar Blast Punishment.
We've got so many of their employees putting their hands on various parts of our bodies.
Yeah, it's amazing. Buddy.
But Evanescence, Bring Me to Life, came on over the thing, and all I could think of was Poundcake talking about what an amazing punk band.
You didn't
they
need that as an excuse to think about me, but I appreciate it.
Duh.
Well, not only an amazing punk band, the first punk band.
The punk band.
They're innovators. Yeah. Have you ever heard Call Me When You're Sober?
Yeah, yeah, Joe Biden. Yeah, yeah, Joe Biden. Biden's back, all right.
Now, the best part of that is I guarantee you Joe Biden has no idea what song they're singing.
Neither do they.
Yeah, they do. They know Backstreet Boys.
That album came out, not that they couldn't know it, but that album came out when I, probably 90, I was young.
Yeah, no,
I was
but
young
but
when
you,
that
you
album
still
came
out. But you still hear it on jukeboxes and restaurants,
yeah.
And, you know.
Backstreet's back.
That is a song that is still very much
it's around
pop culture.
I Want It That Way came back, and everybody thought it was cool to do it at karaoke, which doesn't bother me at all, but.
Tell me why.
Would, does that song bum you out at all or no?
No, not at all. I had a dance to it when I was a little kid.
No, but like them doing
it,
that
version. No, I made up a dance to it. I had a dance.
The Biden version, though.
Would
that get stuck in your head?
No.
Okay.
I'd love to know how that song was born with those kids.
I don't know.
Were they paid? I mean, if they, you know, obviously kids like that, they're volunteering for the Biden campaign because they get school credit or something. But boy, to land on that song, if it was suggested to them, if there was one outlier in that group that said, hey, let's
go. Backstreet's back, but with Biden.
Let's give Joe a viral moment.
Especially when you have NSYNC's, bye, Biden, all right.
Bye, Biden. Well, maybe they'll sing that when he, if he flames out.
There you go.
And then if we get hacked again, it's going to be digital, get down all over again.
Speaking of Joe Biden, he's not a guy who seems concerned about sounding contemporary or bending over backwards to try to appeal to a younger demographic. I think he knows what side his bread is buttered. But he got a lot of play over calling some girl a lying dog-faced pony soldier.
What?
And he got a laugh. I mean, people knew he was, for whatever he was doing, he was being, he was trying to be funny or whatever.
Yeah,
but it was
rouser.
Such an old-timey kind of thing. I mean, his bus, it says malarkey on it, or no malarkey.
No malarkey.
At least McCain back in the day had the Straight Talk Express. Biden's got no malarkey. So the Daily Show created a Joe Biden insult bot Twitter feed. Biden insult bot on Twitter. And it will just come up with old-timey insults.
That's amazing.
That you can call people. And I've got that old-timey insult generator book in my office that I'll go to from time to time. Or it's like a Shakespearean insult generator. But the Biden insult bot, you can call people all manner of old-timey insults. Eat the cake, you dog-faced pigeon kisser. You're hitchhiking to Memphis without a bindle, you chitlin' spittin' garden hose.
Garden hose.
And there's a lot of good ones.
Yeah, I mean, if you're hitchhiking, you should have a bindle, at the very least.
I don't know why you would get out there on the highways and byways, riding the rails, without a bindle.
Where are you going to put your soup, you know? Or your beans.
Or whatever. Whatever's bindle-worthy.
Soup and beans.
That's nothing but a load of hopscotch, you hullabaloo and Mr. Big Legs. How you like that one?
It's a good one.
Big Legs.
Mr. Big Legs.
Set it on stilts or puffy pants.
Go hike the pike, you hotso totso trolley wag.
I just have to think of hot young Joe Biden.
Could you do old timey voice for these, please?
Oh, sure.
It's not the proper voice.
In this one?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Come on. Well, hold on. I don't want to make it too loud. Go.
Testing, testing.
Testing, testing. Go moan to your meemaw, you dongle dangling spider brain. Enough of that, you applesauce sucking corn snake.
Someone's hit hard.
It hits different.
Yeah, if I got called, I'd be like, did I just get totally smoked? Like, this is bad.
Go kiss a jellyfish, you mutton munching Toblerone.
This reminds me of, like, the Orbit commercials. You lit liquor!
Did you just call me a Belgian?
Pin a broken button on that, you two-bit pooper scooper. Why, look, we got ourselves a Piccadillon flutterbutt right over here.
Now you're just speaking in tongues.
Let me find another guy. Stuff it in your Jim Jam, you little two-timing Mrs. Cool Whip.
Mrs. Cool Whip.
Cram it in your nethers, you Twizzler chomping cakewalker. Anyway, so
it's clearly following a very specific, following a very specific kind of thing there. But anyway, the Joe Biden insult bot was created by The Daily Show over on Twitter. So if you're looking for, you know, you don't really want to level a cutting insult at someone, but something that is appropriately old timey. No one's going to mistake it for you speaking slang off the streets. But you still want to try to get like a cutting insult into someone.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, people are telling me that there are deftone states.
Ooh, really?
But not in Ohio.
I was like, what's a deftone state?
Deftones dates. August 26th in Pittsburgh.
I'd make that trip.
Yes, absolutely make that. I haven't seen Deftones since they did the House of Blues. There you go. Announced the summer tour. So you'll have to travel.
Travel, travel.
Milwaukee, Minneapolis, Chicago, Detroit, Toronto.
Are they on?
Pittsburgh, Indianapolis. Maybe they'll come back around again,
Columbus.
People of the Sun. Huh?
Yeah, Columbus.
Oh, it's on there?
May 14th, 2020.
Oh, beautiful.
May.
Is that Sonic Temple weekend?
May 14th?
Sonic Temple's
been announced forever.
Yeah, but they weren't a part of it.
They just got added?
But that's the day before Sonic Temple.
15, 16, 17 is Sonic Temple.
Oh, maybe that's a really smart routing date. Because people, they're like, hey, you're already going to be in town for Sonic Temple. Might as well come in one day early.
Yeah, because I don't see Columbus on the list.
The Google had it on there.
Okay. Well, anyway, we'll have to travel if Columbus is as far as you have. We have a wedding. I can't go this year. Because that's when we're in Norfolk for a wedding.
Man.
Yep, I'm going to miss Sonic Temple this year. No, what do you mean, aha?
Uh-huh.
I love going to Sonic Temple.
I know, I shouldn't be mean.
It's the only thing I it's the only thing that I get VIP tickets for.
Whose fault is that?
Well, it's no one's fault.
No, you get to go to
the Rock Hall.
They're kind enough to. I don't know if that's happening this year.
No, you don't.
But apparently relationships are different now, and I don't know what's happening.
It's all your fault because you made fun of Whitney Houston, and now everyone is in an uproar.
Okay. Upcry.
For the record, I never made fun of Whitney Houston.
You did.
I said she doesn't belong in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
And you know, today's the anniversary of her death. Did you know that?
Well, now that you've screamed it into my ears, I'm reminded of it. Yeah. I remember where I was.
Where
Gwen was in the shower.
Standing up.
We were in Chicago. I was living here. She was working there on a reality show. So she was gone for a few months. And I went in to see her over the weekend. I would go see her on the weekends. And she was living above a restaurant that a friend of mine worked at. So I'd go say hi to my friend, go upstairs. Gwen was subletting a place. And she was in the shower. We were going out that night. And I said, I was on my phone or something. I go, Whitney Houston just died.
Wow.
Deftones are playing Sunday at Sonic Temple. So whatever.
There you go.
Not the 14th, but like the 18th or whatever.
Okay. Well, because the tour proper starts July 27th and runs through the beginning of September. So... yeah, you'll have to hit the road to see him in Chicago or Detroit or Toronto or Pittsburgh. Whatever.
People really love when Poundcake does his British accent.
What's not to love?
What's a British accent?
Closer. Much closer.
Closer?
Eh?
Eh?
British Poundcake, what are you most looking forward to in summer 2020?
Summer 2020, I'm going to hang out with my buttocks out.
What else?
Seeing all the little twinks and twonks. Wandering around the pool.
Which pool? What's your favorite thing about the pool?
Oh, I mean, you know the city pools are really disgusting, but...
It is getting Jamaican, isn't it?
It's getting a little Jamaican, but it's close.
Every sentence is different.
It's different, yeah. Every tin Irie. Every sentence is different.
It's all very different.
But I think for a lot of people, the English accent is the...
easiest
one to at least slop over. But even that, it's you doing Miley Cyrus doing a British accent.
I have to think of like a point where it's like, okay, that seems easier to replicate. And then that sentence, I'm like, okay, well, what else can I make sound like that? And then if I don't think it before like I say it, then it comes out.
But you've seen a movie Jamaican. Where everyone's British, or, I mean, you could just parrot what they're doing.
No, I can't.
You can't.
It's not much of a mimic.
I mean, if it's right in front of me, if it's in front of me right now, I probably could, but I can't do it, like...
During the break, watch some British stuff,
yeah,
and then try and mimic it.
Well, Harry Potter.
I don't think that's a really good British
accent. Watch the Young Ones. Watch old Young Ones episodes. They're probably on YouTube.
What's a person he could look up and just watch real quick?
Yeah, like John Cleese.
John Cleese, Monty Python, Ricky Gervais.
Ricky Gervais.
Anyone like that.
What about Adele? Can I do Adele?
Anybody. Any British person.
Yeah.
I think she's super cockney, though.
Yeah.
She's like, oh, we're going on tour, innit?
Me thinks I lost a lot of weight.
Me thinks I'm skinny now.
When I think of Harry Potter, I just think of that one phrase. He's like, I haven't any money. Like,
haven't any money.
I haven't any money.
That's the one line you remember from Harry Potter? I haven't any money?
I haven't any money. Because I thought that was just such a strange phrase. Like, I don't have any money. It's like, I haven't any money.
I have not any money.
I haven't any money.
Well, all right. I'm going to let you get to work on that, and I'm going to take a break.
Okay.
And then when we come back...
British pound cake.
Oh, boy. He'll have the beef eater hat on, and it'll be like...
BPC.
Be like Harry and Meghan are going to be over in that studio there. That is her husband, right, Harry?
Yeah.
Okay. Have you seen the trailer for that Invisible Man?
I have. It's creepy.
It looks pretty cool,
yeah. It's real creepy.
Dude, woman's husband fakes a suicide or something, but he had found out how to make himself invisible, so then he comes back to...
Does some stalking.
Yeah, does some stalking, make her think she's crazy. It's kind of a cool twist in that whole thing. And I'm really on the fence about Elizabeth Moss, by the way. I can't tell if... she seems to be talented and in things that look okay, but I don't know. Something about her.
Mm.
Something about her throws me off.
I think I need to start watching movies like that again. Not necessarily scary movies, but like psychological thrillers.
Yeah.
Just to kind of... I live a very blissfully ignorant life. Where I just kind of want everything to be happy-go-lucky, and that's what I surround myself with, comedies.
Well, there's something wrong with that, though.
Yeah, I know, but at the same time, it's like, I don't like having nightmares, and I know those will give me nightmares, but I'm like, what if I watch them more and then they don't?
I see. Aversion therapy.
Yeah, aversion therapy.
All right. Well, there you go. Expose yourself to them.
Because I enjoy, like, I don't know if this is the same type of movie, but this is how long it's been. Like, Inside Man, is that a psychological thriller? Or is that an action movie?
It's a crime drama. Okay. Spike Lee's Inside Man?
Yeah.
Great film.
That's what I'm saying. I love movies like that, like figure it out movies.
You
I
like
love
heist
those.
Movies.
Okay. Maybe
watch,
that's what it is.
Watch Heat, De Niro and Pacino. Watch The Score, Marlon Brando and Ed Norton.
Great movie.
I like Usual Suspects. Is that a heist? That's not a heist movie.
Watch Thief, Jimmy Caan from the 80s.
Okay.
Michael Mann movies are a great place to go for those kinds of movies.
Okay. What's a site? What's like a thriller?
The Game.
The Game.
Never
David
saw
Fincher,
that.
Michael Douglas, Sean Penn. Great film. You've seen Seven.
I've seen Seven.
That's pretty scary. That's like a gross kind.
That's
of
got movie. Yeah. But I enjoyed that. It was gross, but it wasn't like
it's not jump scares.
It wasn't horror movie.
It was pretty gross. I mean, it wasn't like a gore-filled film, but it was dark and it was gross.
Very
and
dark,
it was,
yeah. I would say The Game would be a good one for you.
Okay.
Because that's a very intense movie. It's very, there's a lot of twists and turns in it. It's very fun, though.
Seven, though, reminds me of when we were talking about things we do on first dates. When I first moved to Michigan.
With a lust one?
Yes. No.
Knife dildo? What are you talking about?
When I first moved to Michigan, moved to Kalamazoo, Michigan from Chicago, right, to get my amazing radio career going. And I didn't know anybody. And so I, after a couple of months there, I had been chatting up one of the office girls, right? Mm-hmm. My age, maybe a couple years younger, I don't know. But she was super, super mousy. Very mousy. Local girl. Nice.
Cute.
Very cute.
Yeah.
But just very understated. Like, she wore cute sweaters.
Plain Jane,
and
yeah.
Kind of, I mean, again, she was cute, but certainly, I just thought she was cute. And so, I was like, you want to go to the movies or something? And she suggested Seven. And I thought, okay, well, maybe we're onto something here.
Mm-hmm.
And so we went to go see Seven. And she was wearing, I swear to God, she was wearing
she had a cardigan.
She had like a cat sweater on or something, you know? And she tells me after the movie that she had already seen it and
really
liked it. And so I was like, oh, well, maybe something's going, but she was this weird mix of that, like Seven is a great movie, didn't throw her off, right? But then the cat sweaters.
Very quiet, very.
Yeah.
Reserved.
And I was taken like an I felt like I was taken an extra amount of time to like make a move or anything. But then she like put my hand on her.
Yeah.
It was like a weird thing. So
it's like the librarian thing where you think they're quiet and reserved, but really they're just a freak in the sheets.
Yeah.
Waiting to get out.
Like the cop who takes her hat off and shakes her long brunette hair on it. So we didn't date for very long, but yeah, Seven always makes me think of that first date. But that Elizabeth Moss, I can't tell what's going on with her.
I don't even know who she is.
The main chick. She was married to Fred Armisen. She's in The Handmaid's Tale.
Oh, yeah, her.
You know
yeah.
Elizabeth Moss. She was on Mad Men, I think is how she got really well
Never
known.
Never watched Mad Men, but
I didn't either.
I know Handmaid's Tale.
But I think she blew up from Mad Men and then The Handmaid's Tale.
Yeah.
But I can't tell if she's just a tomato stewed Brit soiler or...
She's not someone I find very attractive.
She's been in... Was she in like an old movie?
I don't know.
Like American Pie? Does she look like the girl from American Pie?
No, it's not an American Pie.
Like Mina Suvari? That's who you're probably thinking of. Elizabeth Moss. Yeah, she's kind of like a... I don't know. She's been in some good movies.
Hmm.
She might just be a butter-fingered pooper scooper, though, for all I know.
Saving that for Valentine's
Day.
Yeah,
stuffing into Jim Jam, you little rinky-dinkin' toad licker. Have you seen, I love, I don't have video for you, but I love this commercial for a hearing aid company called Eargo.
All right.
E-A-R-G-O. And if you get a chance to watch the commercial, it's very funny. I'm just going to play the audio, but it's a girl and her boyfriend visiting her parents for the first time. And they're all sitting in the kitchen and the dad is in the living room.
Thanks for having us this weekend, Mrs. Garcia.
Yeah, thanks, Mom.
Of course. And I love those flowers.
Condoms, Charlie. She wants to know if you brought any condoms.
Yeah, I brought some.
Eargo, a virtually invisible hearing loss solution with high-quality sound.
I don't know why I think that's so funny. The dad's sitting in the other room. She wants to know if you brought condoms, Charlie.
That's how good
the hearing aid is.
Almost too good.
Yeah.
I would say almost too good.
But I like the girl whispering, too. She's like, condom. Did you bring a condom? She wants to know if you brought condoms, Charlie. And then the mom turns around. He's like, yeah. And by the way, why does it have to be on the young man to bring the condoms?
Hey, man, I always have condoms.
You gal. Well, that's a whole other thing. You gals. Right? We know you've got condoms in your purse. Why does it have to be on him? He's already nervous. He's coming to meet the girlfriend's parents for the first time. He probably already feels put upon and wants to make a good impression. And she's laying this on him.
She's laying that on him so he'll lay that on her.
I was going to say, he's not laying the pipe.
Is British pound cake laying pipe?
He's not laying the poip.
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 The poip.
He's not laying the poip.
The poipus.
What are you, sweeping chimneys now? The poip.
The poip.
Calm down, Alan. I'm doing the best I can.
Alan was close.
You guys are so hard on me. I'm just a wee little gay.
A what?
A wee little gay.
A wee little gay.
See, that's...
wee little gay.
There you go.
Yes.
That's so hard on me.
Gee, I wonder why.
We need to give him a script. He doesn't know what to
say. Yeah.
What do you want me to say?
It doesn't matter. It's not going to sound like anything. What do I want you to say? I want you to say everything you just said, but in a passable English accent.
Everything I just said
and there are so many he quotes me verbatim. And there are so many different regional dialects too. You could go
mix
Cockney,
them
all
up.
You could go London.
That's the thing, is he starts in one, then moves to another, and then it ends up being
Jamaican somehow.
Yeah, Jamaican every accent.
Time.
Yeah. I'm like, are you a Nazi in Schindler's List? What are you doing?
I remember my dad getting very upset with me when I was a kid because I was really into Monty Python and would talk with a British accent all the time.
I feel like kids go through a British accent phase. I think I had one, too. You just can't
stop.
What
inspired it, though?
I don't know, because my sister... I wasn't really Harry Potter. I'm trying to think of what I would have liked.
My daughter didn't do it, but I would read stories about the wave of toddlers who watch Peppa Pig.
Yes!
British accent.
Daddy Pig. But that show has no music in it. I don't know if you've watched it. It's so quiet.
That's a lot of British shows.
It's creepy. It's a creepy cartoon because there's no music. So they're just like,
well, there's a theme song.
During the show.
Yeah,
I mean,
there's no interstitial music.
Like,
yeah.
Peppa and Brother Pig go out to play in the mud.
And then they just jump in the mud.
And then it's quiet.
Yeah.
What? In the mud?
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
They play in the mud.
But yeah, Monty Python, because we would get Monty Python on PBS because we didn't have cable growing up. So we got four channels. We got the networks and we got PBS.
Yeah.
And they would show Monty Python's Flying Circus like Saturday at 11 on PBS.
Just what you wanted.
Well, because I was watching Saturday Night Live. We were on Central Time. So Saturday Night Live would start at 10:30. But by the time 11 o'clock came around, you were getting right up to Weekend Update. And I didn't really care about that as a kid, so I'd switch over to Monty Python.
There you go.
We'd watch the Red Green Show, and I think Monty Python was
Red
on
Red Green Show. I forgot about that. Duct tape fixes everything.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The Red Green Show.
Can't find you handsome. You should find you handy.
Yes. I remember that.
Is that a Canadian
that was
show,
a show,
too?
That
was
a Canadian.
It was Canadian.
Okay. I thought that show was so funny.
It is funny.
I loved
it holds
that
up.
Show.
It's just silly. It's
she
a
can't
silly
find you
show.
Handsome. She will find you handy. Yeah. Oh, my God. I'm so excited that that's a thing again.
It's on for 15 years.
Forever.
91 to 06. Wow. Yeah, okay. And then in college, we got Kids in the Hall first on PBS.
That was just on when I'd get home from school. It'd be on Comedy Central, and I'd just watch that with my buddy and just laugh.
Well, that's when it really blew up here, was when Comedy Central, which didn't have much programming,
they just played all the
Kids in the Hall episodes. What does Red Green say at the end of his show?
I just said it.
If she can't find you handsome, she'll find you handy.
On the ice.
Oh, that was the handsome handy thing.
Handsome handy. Yeah, so it was a Canadian production that they showed here on PBS. So yeah, American kids got all the Canadian programming on public television here. Because it probably barely cost them anything to air it because Canadian TV just wanted their stuff shown elsewhere.
Mm-hmm. It was like PBS too.
Right.
It was on PBS, and I mean, same with Monty Python. You just get it for next to nothing. We'll throw this on. It's British, so it's got to be. I feel like that's how it got on. They're like, well, it's British, so it's got to be somewhat classy.
Classy, right?
When it wasn't really.
Well, because we'd also get Fawlty Towers, which I wasn't into as much. But if you love Monty Python, you'd watch anything those guys did. Mm-hmm. And so John Cleese was in Fawlty Towers, and that ran for a long time, too.
I remember watching Fawlty Towers because of John Cleese, and like I'm like, this isn't Monty Python!
Right.
That upset.
Yeah.
Thanks for having us this weekend, Mrs. Garcia.
Yeah, thanks, Mom. Of course. And I love those flowers.
Did you bring them? Condoms.
What's up?
Condoms.
Condoms, Charlie. She wants to know if you brought any condoms.
Benny Hill, too, on PBS, right?
Hell yeah.
We'd see Monty Python and we'd see Benny Hill.
What a weird time to bring that up.
Yeah, right. When you're just walking in.
Hey, I just walked through the door. Oh, I remember. I want to bang this weekend.
That's when you bring up, like, when you're just saw my
mom.
Upstairs.
I saw my mom, and I'm like, I want to make sure that I have sex this weekend. Did you bring condoms?
Mm-hmm.
Something about this foyer.
There's a Reddit thread somebody sent to me, too, about sounds we hate.
Okay.
Cringe-worthy sounds. Now, that's one of them.
Uh-huh.
The mouth sounds, yes. I didn't think it could get any cringeworthy than the Backstreet Boys' Joe Biden song that
don't
I just play played
it.
For you.
You don't need to play it again.
Joe Biden! Yeah, yeah! Joe Biden! Yeah, yeah! Joe Biden! Biden's back, all right!
There you go. Gee, I wonder if they'll do that at their live show that you're so excited for. But yeah, mouth noises are cringeworthy.
Oh, I hate that.
It's so gross. But still, ASMR is a huge thing.
Mm-hmm. There's some people that love it.
Utensils on a plate, dragging a fork across a fork.
I hate that. Nails on a chalkboard.
It sounds like, fake, though.
But if you think of it as, if you hear it as a tea kettle going off.
Do they sound the same? I don't
I think
hear it
so. Your brain flips
a tea kettle Taco Bell?
Tea kettle Taco Bell, as Pound Cake says.
Tea kettle Taco Bell?
No. Tea kettle Taco Bell, innit?
I got a little tea kettle in my Taco Bell.
I'm going to put the kettle on.
I requested a Crunchwrap.
Taco Tuesday, if you will.
Taco Tuesday, if you please.
Fire sauce. Now I'm going to play this again.
I hate it.
Hear it as a tea kettle.
I can't. It really is making my throat hurt.
Wow, you can't switch your brain up. Your throat hurts.
Like right here. You know what I mean? Like where your lymph nodes are?
Oh, it's starting to taste like metal.
It is.
In the back
really
of my
is.
Throat. All right. Pet throwing up. You're not going to enjoy this anymore.
I'm going to take it off.
This is a cat throwing up.
I don't even want it. I have a cat.
No, it doesn't sound that bad.
Yes, it does. I've heard that in the middle of the night. She's been on my bed and been like...
That is the worst.
And I'm like, dude, you wake up and you're like, come on, man.
Dog or cat.
You gotta change your sheets in the middle of the night. Good thing I did laundry at midnight.
My dog.
Come on. I can't wear these during this.
Nick, the golden retriever that we had, that had
mega esophagus.
He would get into something, and then you hear that noise, and then all of a sudden, there's a big loaf of puke.
Yes. On your legs.
But
it's on your legs under the blanket. So, like, you can feel its
weight. You feel the weight of it.
Yes.
It's seeping.
Get up and get this off of me immediately.
I love that dog. He was the sweetest dog, but man, that was so hard to deal with.
Loaves of puke on that Deftones tour with Gojira.
It's not that bad.
That was a squirty one.
It was a squirty one. So worse, cat throwing up or utensils on the plate?
I don't know. They're both real bad.
All right.
Yeah. I don't have to hear utensils on a plate. You know what I mean? Like I can. I've had to deal with a cat throwing up. If that makes sense.
Okay, mm-hmm. I understand.
So that one maybe hits a little closer to home for me.
Yeah.
Is there more of that? I don't want to hear
I just pulled a couple for you. Just the mouth noises.
Do you know
the
what
utensils.
I really hate for as much? I get my nails done about... Stop. Dude, come on. Do you see my whole body cringe up?
Yeah. Tense
like,
up.
Like I'm having a seizure, like a ghost.
Yeah, like you're getting ready to speak in tongues.
Yeah, that's what we look like.
No,
I can't say
lady.
It's because, like, my neck is the first thing to twitch because you feel it, and I'm like, oh, stop it.
Well, because, as I understand it, the ears...
connected to the neck bone.
Connected to the neck bone. Ear bones connected to the neck. Yeah.
Neck bone.
The eustachian tubes go right down into your carotid artery.
I hate it all.
Yeah. Anatomy lesson.
So say, as much as I get my nails done, I hate the noise and feeling of a nail file to the point where, like, the lady will be filing my nails and I'm like clenching my teeth and like I have to continuously keep swallowing because I hate the sound of it so much.
606.
And like the feeling of it. What? What? What was gross about that? Am I supposed to strap it to my face?
I have to continuously keep swallowing.
Oh, God. I heard him coming hard.
That is gross. Uh-huh.
He can't touch it to see how loose it is. That's uncomfortable. The old sit and spit. You give so many. I'll eat it. I don't love it.
Yeah. Mary Santora's sex cauldron. What is it?
Sax cauldron.
Sex cauldron. Mike Polk Jr. show tonight, right?
Oh,
sex
right. Auction. Yeah, sex auction.
When you grab it, you'll feel how firm it is.
Mm-hmm.
You grab it. Start by just touching it.
Yeah, Mary Santora's Mike Polk Jr. sex auction is tonight.
That
at
sounds
Hilarity's
like I'm
4th Street.
Sex auctioning off Mike.
Mm. Mike Polk Jr.'s Mary Santora sex auction.
He likes a show with a twist. Do you know who they picked?
No.
Oh, I guess you
oh they've
can't.
Already picked yeah. someone?
They picked three.
Last night they were doing
So it's like the dating game. Yeah. Like, Bachelor number one.
That's what it is.
You have to pick one to go on a date?
It's not required to go on a date, and that was expressively put in the emails, the acceptance emails.
Is this the
This does not mean you are officially or actually dating Mary Santora.
Is this the first of a series?
I don't think
or
so.
Or this is just a Valentine's
it's
Day one-off.
It's just a Valentine's Day one-off.
We're talking about S-E-X in front of the C-H-I-L-D-R-E-N.
Sex cauldron. I thought they closed that place down.
Are you gonna kiss him?
No, I don't kiss on the first date.
You never multiple.
You don't kiss on the first date. Since when? And
no,
why
I
not?
Kiss on the first date. That's why. Huh. I have kissed on many a first date.
Yeah. You fingered a dude on a one-night stand.
I did.
But it wasn't a first date, was it?
That was a one-night stand.
Oh,
those
one-night
are different.
Stand. Oh.
Definitely
yeah,
starts still. To get a little stinky and a little slimy. Yeah. Guy was trying to work my exit. Why do I have so many of these? You can't have a frown on your face if you're sliding down a fireman's pole.
That's right.
All right.
Marcel, your thoughts.
What?
That does make me laugh every time I do that. Every time we're talking, he just goes, what?
What? What?
It's not a sex auction.
Huh?
What?
That is gross.
Exactly. He gets it.
Well, good. Okay. Hey, Rick.
Hey, Mr. Allen.
Bill's here.
Hi. How you doing, Miss Mary?
Hi.
Hey, Bill. The sports guy. You know
sports
I call
guy.
You the sports guy.
I'm a sports guy.
That's right. Rick and Sporty is on the air.
What you say, Allen?
Nothing. Go ahead. Bill's right here.
Okay. Hey, Bill.
Yo.
We got the Hawks next, right?
Mm-hmm.
Do you think we're going to get them?
I think we can beat the Hawks. The Hawks are pretty trash.
Okay, well, we have lost the other team that we should have lost to. Also.
That is true. But I like to be positive about it, and I think with a few more days of Drummond being on the team, the chemistry is going to be a little better. They're going to know where their spots are. And if you stop Trae Young, then you have a good chance.
I'll tell you what, once Dikembe Mutombo, Rick, he is tough to get around for the Hawks.
Yeah.
Bob Pettit, come on, man. That is tough.
Yeah, Allen.
Yep.
Allen, I got one more question before I close out.
Yes, sir.
Do you ever hear from Miss Erica Ian?
Sure, she's doing fine. She's getting herself in order and plugging away.
All right, we're just.
What do you think about Mookie Blaylock's chance?
Excuse me, what you say, Allen?
So, what do you think about Mookie Blaylock's chances tomorrow night?
I don't know.
All right.
I really don't. But yeah, tell Miss
Erica Maravich.
Ian, I say hello.
No, I will.
I love y'all.
All right, guys. Right. There's another installment of Rick and Sporty.
Rick and Sporty.
Sports. Available wherever you get your sporty
apps.
Wherever you get your apps.
And now I must leave you as the Brady Bunch is on, and I find four of those children incredibly arousing. Get out of here.
Be careful of what you say. Be careful in every way. Be careful of what you do. Big Brother is watching you. Be circumspect and discreet. Stay light on your mental feet. One slip and you know you're through. Big Brother is watching you. Conform with all directives. Remember, obedience pays. And when you watch that TV screen, remember it works both ways. You'll disappear in a wink, unless you can double think. You'll vanish into the blue. Big Brother is watching you.